last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Hollywood legend Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah.
There is a story that's out that says that some doctor in Jamaica has a picture of you that sheds real tears.
It wasn't crying when I looked at it.
Oh,
but I was when I looked at it.
Oh, good answer.
This kooky doctor says that unless Michael Jackson's baby sits in front of this picture, that something bad might happen to him.
But I don't think we need to have him sit in front of that picture to know that.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Now let's have some Halloween fun. Oh, actually, we're probably going to be talking very little about Halloween and a lot about the life of Mr. Vincent Price.
It is time to summon now the evil spirit.
Because we have Vincent Price's daughter online. Her name is Victoria Price, and she's written this book. I'm sure you've read about it. Vincent Price, A Daughter's Biography.
Lots of things in this book, very, very interesting and a little controversial.
Now, frankly, if my kid ever wrote a book like this about me, I'd kill him, which is probably why she waited until her dad was dead to write all this stuff about
him. Well, we'll have to ask her about that.
Let's bring her online now. Hello, Victoria.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Your book, Vincent Price, A Daughter's Biography.
Pretty fascinating stuff for, a man who I guess was at one time like the king of the horror actors.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to tell you something. I'm looking at a picture of you right here. A picture of you with your dad.
Uh-huh.
Pretty cute.
Him?
No, you. You're pretty cute.
You well, I want to know why you would kill your daughter if she wrote a book like this.
Oh, hey, let me think. Gee, if my daughter wrote a book that I was a Nazi sympathizer, and
I
that,
never said he was a Nazi sympathizer,
and that I might be gay or bisexual. Gee.
I never said that either.
Well, clear it up for us. If we're mischaracterizing your book, then you give it. That's why you're on the show, and then that's what we can talk.
Was your dad a Nazi sympathizer?
No, far from a Nazi sympathizer that he was gray listed for being a premature and Nazi sympathizer.
Okay, so when the stories in the press about you saying that he sympathized in a certain way with the Nazis, that's all inaccurate.
Yes, what I said was that as a young man, he was raised with a certain kind of values that a lot of people in those days in the upper middle class were raised with. It was a certain kind of cultural anti-Semitism that was pretty pervasive. It was pretty pervasive right up until we entered World War II. I mean, everybody was looking the other way. My dad, in the early 30s, sort of swallowed hook, line, and sinker some of the things that were going
on. I'm going to pot her down already.
Saying, you know, oh, the
she's already saying that her dad was anti-Semite, but it's okay because everybody was.
And all the banks or Jewish people or the intellectuals. And he never was anti-Semitic toward another person.
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah, yeah.
And say, because it really does sound like, yeah, I understand what you're saying. When you make a statement like it came from that, everybody kind of was looking the other way. Are you surprised at the kind of the firestorm of controversy that's been aroused by the Nazi issue and that particular segment of the book?
Absolutely, because I almost didn't put it in the book. And the reason I did was because he had changed his mind by the time he was 25 or 26 years old. And my point was that he was a young man who didn't really think much about what his values were as opposed to his parents' values. And so he kind of believed what they believed until he woke up and changed his mind. And
so listen, are you saying then that your mom and dad were anti-Semites?
My mom and dad?
Yeah, because you're saying that...
His parents.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, that his mom and dad were anti-Semites.
I think a lot of people in St. Louis, which was a really pro-German town, were anti-Semitic. Look at Lindbergh, who made his name in St. Louis. He was pretty pro-German and anti-Semitic. He was a big fan of Hitler's.
All right. Well, okay. I just, you know, I didn't live in that time. I just think it's a blanket statement. It's a weak blanket statement to come out and say that it's just about everybody was anti-Semitic at that time, and then...
Yeah, it's dangerous, I guess, when you're doing that. Have you got any heat for saying that? I mean, I would think you would, that there would be people from that time, you know, many people that grew up in that same kind of environment who would say, hey, you know, what would you say to them if they said, hey, no, that's just not true. You know, this was perhaps an isolated example.
Actually, you know, it's a fact of the matter. If you look at reporting in newspapers at that time, if you look at the way history books were written at that time, if you look at the U.S. policy toward Germany and toward Hitler, we refused to look at the fact that anything was going wrong and that there were any problems. We refused to accept boatloads of Jewish people who were refugees from Hitler.
You talk about kind of a cultural anti-Semitism. How did that manifest itself in that era where your dad was growing up?
How did it manifest itself?
You say people look the other way. I mean, where was the anti-Semitism?
What were they looking the other way at?
What was happening?
At boatloads of Jewish people trying to be allowed into this country that were turned away.
Mm-hmm. Oh. All right, well, I've never heard that.
The U.S. government.
I've never heard that. But I'll move on to the next question I had for you. Another one of the things that we hear about in this book is that there are rumors that your dad was a homo or maybe bisexual.
A homo?
Uh-huh.
A homosexual?
Yes,
right.
Homo. We have
homo.
This show is very gay friendly, so we are allowed to use that term.
I see.
We say it in the most endearing way possible. Our good friend Homo Joe is a regular on this show, and we support the gay community.
We don't have to validate anything to her.
That's right.
What about the rumors of your dad's homosexuality or bisexuality?
Well, my dad was married 3 times for about 60 years of his life, but after he married my stepmother, I think a lot of those rumors arose, and I think they arose for 3 reasons. One of which was that he played these very campy, over-the-top characters in his movies.
That's true.
The other reason was that he played Oscar Wilde in 1978, which was the exact same year that Anita Bryant was up on her soapbox denouncing homosexuality, and it was seen as a pretty radical thing and a pretty major support of the gay community at a time when it wasn't receiving major support.
Do you think your father ever had dabbled in that? I mean, you know, the Hollywood lifestyle, the Hollywood parties, do you think there was ever any kind of experimentation?
When he wasn't married for the 60 years, I have no idea. He never said to me that he was or wasn't. And
what about a bisexual thing?
I have
where he wasn't all the way gay, but maybe just...
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I did a lot of research, people would say to me, because it was a constant rumor, so I felt that if I didn't address it, then people would say, what are you not looking at? What are you not talking about?
Okay.
So people would say to me, oh my God, I have proof that your father was gay. Go talk to so-and-so. So I'd follow these paper trails down, and I would get to the end, and I would talk to whoever it was, and he'd say, oh yes, I have proof that your father was gay. In the 50s, we were walking through the Metropolitan Museum, and he smiled at me. He flirted at me. Absolutely, he was gay.
Oh, then you can understand why we would ask you about this, because obviously everybody asks you about this.
Yeah, I've been asked for years, and I think, you know, everybody in Hollywood assumes that. I have other friends who are kids of certain celebrity marriages about which that has been assumed, that their marriage is of convenience or that their parents are gay, and we all sort of chuckle about it.
What's the primary reason you wrote this book? I know a lot of people will do this for, you know, obviously if it's a commercial success, that's a good thing, but a lot of people say it's a cathartic experience to write a book like this. So what is your motivation for writing this book about your father?
My motivation was that I believe that my father profoundly affected the history of the arts and the visual arts in particular during the 20th century and the popularization of the visual arts. So, of course, we're all very glad that he's remembered as the king of horror and loved as the king of horror, and that people get a really big kick out of him.
I'm getting bored with this.
Even to this day. But actually, I think that a lot of what is happening in the visual arts at the end of the 20th...
I think people are going to be wondering if this is the same station they were listening to 20 minutes ago when we were looking in the bathroom for biological stains.
To popularize and promote the arts all over America. And I wanted people to remember that aspect.
All right, I'm going
to
cut over this.
That was my primary motivation in writing the book.
All right, well, listen, we want to thank you for coming on our show.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be glad to plug your book, Vincent Price, A Daughter's Biography by Victoria Price. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jesus Christ.
That was a little uncomfortable.
Right, right. Well, everybody in St. Louis was anti-Semitic back then.
Yeah, a little weird. I mean, you could dissect everything she said. You know, when you've heard all the scuttlebutt about this book that you know, you get the Nazi issue and you get the gay issue, and then she comes out and refutes it. You know, I wonder if these publishing houses have the same spin system as they do in Hollywood, where you know, they're just trying to sell books. It's very frustrating when you get that advance word on a book and then the author comes out and immediately, oh, of course not. I would never, you know. Well, of course
he has
not.
To be aware of the publicity.
Right.
The book publishers put out. The book publisher supplied us with questions we were supposed to ask, like, is your dad a Nazi sympathizer? Was your dad a member of the Communist Party?
And you always want to know, you know, if Vincent Price was alive, how he would feel. You know, and what he would say if anybody brought that type of thing. And, you know, it's
well, that's why I stand by what I originally said, that she wouldn't have written it unless he was dead.
Yeah.
And he can't say anything about it.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Yeah. Pretty weird stuff.
What a bore.
I thought that might be interesting.
Jesus Christ. Not as good as the penis book.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yep.
Penis author was a million times better.
But if you were a Vincent Price fan, you want to read about Vincent Price, you know, what the hell?
Don't waste your money. Plus, I'll tell you this, the print is very small in this book.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's not
good. It's not like the Michael Jackson book. Remember when Michael Jackson wrote his book, Moonwalk?
Oh, it's great. Big letters. Big fat letters.
He got like about one paragraph on each page. Look at this. Look at how tiny this is. Someone like Buzz with failing eyesight would not be able to read this.
That's smaller than average.
Without your spectacles, Buzz.
That's right. Much smaller than average.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey. This is the thing, that I don't know very much about Vincent Price and whether he was an anti-Semite or what her feelings are, but unfortunately, 90% of what she was saying about cultural anti-Semitism is accurate for that time. There was a ship called the St. Louis.
I know what you're talking about. In fact, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't doubt that for a second. It's just you go into dangerous ground whenever you say, you know, everybody kind of turned their head and looked the other way. Because I know, you know, that's just not the way, that's not true.
You know,
I never believed it.
It might be tantamount to this. It might be like saying, talking about somebody who grew up in the South in, let's say, the 40s and 50s. And say they weren't racist, but they didn't do anything when they walked down the street and they saw colored water fountain, colored bathrooms.
Well, listen, I'm not as educated as either of you boys, obviously, but I never heard anything in my life about anti-Semitism being okay in this country.
Let me tell you, in Miami Beach, all the hotels had signs saying no Jews, no dogs.
That's true.
Oh, that certainly has changed now.
Yeah, that's...
Dogs are allowed in all those hotels now.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
What, like Jews aren't allowed in those hotels now?
Sorry, I'm not as educated as you.
Right.
Obviously. Please, come on. Christ, what do you want to turn this into, goddamn NPR?
We're out of our depth. We're out of our depth.
I thought she was talking out of her ass. I'm sorry. I'm not as educated as you boys, but I don't think that back then everybody in this country just turned the other...
That's what I take issue with, is when she makes the statement like that. I'll even go so far as to his analogy with everybody in the South looked the other way. It's just, when you make those statements about everybody, you know, it almost sounded like she was defending her father by saying... You know,
everybody else did it.
It was a cultural, you know, anti-Semitism that everybody kind of looked the other way.
We all hated Jews.
You know, but I'm sorry, but the Nazi issue, you know, came up in the book. That's what we were talking about. And then she kind of, you know, says, oh, fiddle faddle.
Yeah. And then wants to go on.
I hate that. I hate it when authors do that.
Boring diatribe.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Eric from Rochester, New York.
You know, I just might burn this book. It's been a while since I've had a good old-fashioned book burning on this show.
Really?
I just might burn it, just because that was such a bad interview. I mean, nothing against her personally.
Yeah, but if we're talking about the Nazis and book burning, you know, it might be a good idea to separate from that.
Maybe. But I do enjoy a good book burning.
Oh, God.
You know, when an author pisses me off. Hello?
Hi, I was just calling to verify that what the last guy was talking about is true about the boatloads of Jews being returned and, you know, Charles Lindbergh having to do with that. He was from St. Louis. And, you know, what she was saying was true.
You know, I was wondering...
People in the government back then, you know, definitely... went out of their way to turn a blind eye. It was the policy of a lot of guys.
All right, well, then all of this should be taught in the public schools, because I never heard dick about this.
Yeah, we didn't either. That's
yeah,
right.
It was never taught to me in the public school, and I'm 38 years old. I learned about this stuff only in the last about 5 years.
That's interesting. I would say that's true. They really ought to, you know, there ought to be more information out there about it.
If that's true. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I just wanted to say screw her. As a homo, I'd much rather have your guy's honesty any time than her pretension.
Thank you.
That's the key word there. She was a little pretentious.
Thank you.
Let's try to get all uppity with us just for using the word homo.
I know.
What do you mean, homo?
Right. Come on.
You know.
Your dad liked it.
Right.
You know what I mean.
And nothing against authors and nothing against, you know, people that use the, you know, the $10 words, but please. It's very frustrating when there's all this advanced hype about a book. It's created by the publishing house, and we get into that situation.
Right, they've been trying to get her on this show for 2 weeks.
And then we're made out to be, and how many interviews a day do you think she does where she says that, too?
And they have pitched it to us every day for 2 weeks, just like, this is controversial, this will be right up your alley. Was Vincent Price a Nazi?
And perhaps she doesn't remember that was on the front page of USA Today yesterday, all the aspects that we just tackled. And I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right, well, screw her.
Let's end.
Boring 10 minutes on the show. It's done.
Hello. Don and Mike show. We'll go back to talking about farts and...
Yeah. And the walls. The walls of our bathroom.
Girls.
We have a major emergency here.
Oh, you know what I got to do? Let me change topics. Let me call my kid.
All right. You got the third question in the moron thing?
Yep.
All right.
Let's see if I can get the third question in the moron quiz, which I failed this morning driving carpool. I got all three questions wrong.
I want to thank that guy for bringing by the safety derm. Wonderful. Antimicrobial hand sanitizing lotion.
Hi, I'm not on my cell phone right now.
Yes, you are.
Leave a message.
Yes, you are. You're in the car.
It
must be in a bad cell right now.
Especially for you, Bart. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To choose a short message to be displayed on the cellular phone of the person you are calling, press 6.
I'll leave my wife a message. Very good. Here you go.
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes. Yeah. Lumpy and tasteless.
She'll get home tonight and say, hey, honey, I got a call from Dave Letterman.
If you're satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2.
That's what I want.
To erase and message review.
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes. Yeah. Lumpy and tasteless.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
Well, maybe I want to redo
it. To listen to your message, press 2.
I want to redo it.
To erase and re-record, press 3. To message erased. At the tone, please re-record your message. At the end of your message, press 1.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. Message review.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
To listen
to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Right, this will be the
message
one we need.
Erased. At the tone, please re-record your message. At the end of your message, press 1.
So what are you waiting for? Keep practicing. I'm hungry.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. Message review.
So what are you waiting for? Keep practicing. I'm hungry.
If you are satisfied with your message,
you might think that's actually for me.
Listen to your message, press 2. To send your message with normal delivery, press 1.
No urgency.
To send your message with urgent delivery, press 2. Thank you. Your message has been sent.
All right, well, goodbye. As soon as my wife gets that urgent message.
Urgent. It's very urgent.
I'm sure she will call back and we will get question number 3 in the moron quiz.
All right.
Which I was given on the way to school this morning. One more person on hold here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, it's Krista.
Yes, hello, Krista.
I want to be spanked. It's my birthday.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
All right.
How old are you, Krista?
I am 27.
27.
I thought you had to think about that one for a second there.
Where are you calling from, Krista?
Calling from Sacramento. Love you, boys.
Love you. You're not a Nazi sympathizer, are you?
Oh, hate them.
What about the rumors that you are homo or bisexual?
Nope.
What about the communist Red Scare and the secret oath you took? I'm just asking her all the questions we had for Susan Price.
It's not me.
And how were you involved in the game show scandals of the 50s?
Come on.
I I can't say. I'm have no comment.
Has your birthday party already started?
Yes.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, man, I was going to be the alphabet.
I thought you were Las Vegas-style show.
What?
Ah! In Sacramento.
Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
I think she used to be on Melrose, the blonde, the short blonde. She had short blonde hair. What's her name?
You think this girl's faced?
Oh, yeah absolutely.
Are you faced right now?
Pardon?
Are you faced, F-A-C-E-D?
No.
You know what I mean.
You're not loaded?
No, not at all.
You're a little loaded?
Mm-mm.
Is it Josie Bissett? You're drinking something right now.
Yes, I am. And it's water.
No, it's not.
I'm so excited to talk to you guys. I've listened to you for so long, and you guys are just that.
See his face.
Is it Josie Bissett? Is that who you think you look like? Okay.
Not Josie Bissett. Yeah, that's who.
Yeah, right. You're not drinking.
Right.
Okay, would you be a good girl and pull your pants down, please?
They are shirt. Well, I don't have pants on. I have a dress.
Okay, well, then why don't you
and
hike.
I'm going to take my thong off.
Hike your dress up and hike your thong down. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to be using the frying pan on you.
Please.
She won't feel it.
Right, please. See, I hope I don't miss my target. I hope I don't exactly conk you in the head with this.
Put your blindfold on.
Oh, okay. You're going to get the OJ treatment now.
Oh, my God.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
One.
That's right. That's right. Three. Oh, we got a live one. Four. Five. Six. Seven, eight. Nine.
Yes.
Ten.
Yes.
11.
Yes.
12.
Yes.
13.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mike.
Wow. Are you ready for the Tahitian war clubs?
Remember, she's not faced.
All right, here we go. 14.
Woo!
15.
Yeah.
16.
Woo!
17.
That feels good.
18. 19.
Five.
20.
Yeah.
21.
Yeah.
22.
Yeah.
23.
Yeah.
24.
Yeah.
25.
Yeah.
26.
Yeah. 27, baby.
27. Oops.
Thank you. You know, my dad's listening to this.
Your dad?
Your dad's listening. Dad,
I was on the Don and Mike show, Dad.
Dad, I was not faced.
Dad, you're not mod, are you?
Don't be sad.
Don't be
glad.
Dodd.
Dodd. What's your dad's name, man?
My dad's name is David.
David. He's Dodd. He's her dad. It was absolutely Rod.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to have a cigarette now.
Ah, very good.
Very good.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Nothing chases a beer better.
Thank you.
Bye.
Let me say, that's a little more like it on the show, other than that boring Vincent Price crap we were just
I think
doing.
We were a little more compatible with her.
I think so, too.
That was snooze, let me tell you.
That was snooze, man. I will tell you, Mom, that was snooze time.
Hey, it's California time, you know.
California!
You must be so hot.
I am.
Because you appear to be such an airhead. You got to be so hot. Because you know my theory, the more beautiful a woman is, the less she's...
Your analogy, I have a 34 double D.
Oh,
right. You.
Wow.
I am amazed you can tie your shoes in the morning.
What are you doing for your birthday? Going out with your boyfriends?
Not quite sure yet, you know? You gotta keep all your options open, you know?
Okay, right. I bet yours are open.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Jesus.
All right, party girl, we'll have a good time.
Oh, well, you know what? Maybe I'll call you tomorrow and tell you how good it was.
All right, we'd live for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Bye-bye.
There she goes.
Drunk whore!
Oh, Rob. What was that? What's he throwing there?
Drunk whore!
Drunk whore. Rob. He was a whore.
Nice.
We are upon a break, and we will be back with more.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
I got a new record today. Is it okay if I play it on the phonograph?
Well, of course, Eddie. I think it's very nice for a young boy to be interested in music.
Vintage goodness. It's The best of Don and Mike.
Robbie, where's the hypnotist? Now, while we had Charlie Broyhill duck in here a moment ago and said the hypnotist required a little extra time, we took our time with that contestant.
He's had 45 minutes.
Yes, indeed.
Come on, I'm ready for him.
We're ready for the hypnotist.
And if nothing else, I need buzz back. Is it ready for news? Oh, here he comes.
All right.
Here comes master hypnotist Gary Conrad.
Gary is coming back in here with his subject.
With Homo Joe and Buzz.
Buzz first over here. Buzz right here, man.
Okay.
Hi, Buzz.
Right down,
hi.
Buzz. Sit right down. Sit right down. Three big deep breaths and breathe in. There we go. You can stand and sleep on three. One, two, three, breathe in. Hold it, you know, sitting way on that stand.
You just put Homo Joe to sleep.
Oh, he enough is. Rub is getting ready. The humming going, getting humming going right now. Tap and toes. Watch my hand there. Watch my hand right there. Count to three, Buzz. Big deep breath in order to help you relax. Let go. One, two, breathe in. Let it go. A little bit deeper this time. Now breathe in. That's fine. One more time, breathe in. Sleep, wait on.
Buzz is out.
Let it go. Lock out of my voice. Get the bongo drums going. Just like before. Get the beat of the beat. You get bongo drums going again, Joe.
I think you just have to listen.
Eyes closed. Lock out of my voice. It's the only important sound. Find it easy to follow every suggestion I give you.
Hi, guys. And singing.
All right. Are we able to talk to you now, Gary?
What is the suggestion? What do you have Buzz doing now? Playing the bongos?
We're occupying her conscious mind. So the more they're hearing my voice, they're focusing on me. This bass is just about done. I don't know if you can go to commercials. If you can do something like that, we'll get them rocking.
Right now, listen, right. Wendell Hall, the engineer, he didn't take?
Well, he didn't really follow the directions that well. He was had a lot of trepidation about going on. Didn't want to do it.
Okay, so can we just listen for a second? Will you do it with Buzz? Let me hear what you do with Buzz.
A little louder. You're not loud enough, Joe. Listen up, Buzz, on three. Your eyes are closed. You're going to sit up, but you're going to realize you're Marilyn Monroe, and you're singing happy birthday to the president on three. Your eyes closed. Real sexy, Miss Monroe. One, two, three.
Eyes open. Miss Monroe.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, put him back on. Put him back on. I'm telling you, this is how I know this is not a gag.
Let it go.
You know Buzz.
That's right, get the bongo drums. A little louder with the hum, a little louder. Listen on three, your eyes are open. You're a big man in radio. You've got better ratings even than Don and Mike. You're Paul Harvey on three. One, two, three. Eyes open. It's Paul Harvey.
Hello, Americans. Paul Harvey. This Valentine's Day, give her the cards, give her the candy, give her the flowers, and then give her what she really wants, a Regina upright vacuum cleaner.
Put it back on.
Page two.
Put it back on.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
You are amazing. For anybody who knows Buzz,
oh man,
Buzz is never this entertaining. Okay, don't let this get back to him. Buzz has never been.
Buzz on three, your eyes are open. You're Don Adams. One, two, three. Get smart, Buzz.
Yes. Well, this is Don Adams, Maxwell Smart, Secret Agent 86 for Control. Join me and Barbara Feldon next on NBC in color.
Oh my God!
Up there was a Broadway Joe. Homo Joe on three. Your eyes are open. You're wearing your most beautiful gown ever. You're Barbara Streisand in concert, singing one, two, three.
Eyes open, Barbara. People who need people are the luckiest people in the world.
They sing in Chinese.
People who need people.
Gary, can you make him more macho?
From the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, and you got two pencil neck geeks here, Don and Mike, making fun of you, and you're just going to lace into them. Tell
here we go.
Them in a squared circle. One of the.
I look, mister.
Where's these nut bags?
I had to silly him out of the ass.
He just used the F word.
There goes the number one.
I'm going to give you a second.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a second. Here's
yeah.
what we'd like. We come back.
Yeah.
Is this guy allow us back?
Oh, yeah. No, no, no.
Oh, absolutely. We have a delay. We have a delay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One other second. Joe just dropped the F-bomb.
Right. That's all right.
This guy, Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Would there be any way you could make him a football expert? Or is that something he already has to have in his mind? Because he knows nothing about sports.
Well, he can pretend
yeah,
he's
we'll,
a football
we'll play
expert.
With it. We'll see what happens. And as for Joe, we'd like Joe to love to have sex with women.
Be the most heterosexual man in the world.
Could you do that?
Really, you know.
I can tell Mike's a girl and he really wants to talk with her.
Okay, that's fine. That's great.
You'll be up for that, Mike?
I'll be up for that, absolutely.
Okay, when we come back, this is Master Hypnotist. Master Hypnotist Gary Conrad. I want to tell you, the stuff that he did with Buzz, Buzz is still sitting in the corner like a mental patient playing the bongos on his lap.
And now he's got Joe coming and playing the bongos too.
Now, how did you teach Joe how to, sing Chinese? How did he know that?
He must have heard it somewhere in the back of his mind.
Pretty amazing.
They're both under right now, and I guess you're gonna get them deeper under. Is that what it is?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay,
good. We'll come back. We'll do another break with Gary and with Buzz and with Homo Joe. More show coming right up.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Liza Minnelli. Don and Mike. How can I say this? Are a gay.
Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
Listen, he's really, Gary really has got these guys cranked up now.
We've been enjoying quite a show during the commercial break.
I don't know how we can possibly describe to you what he has done to Buzz and to Homo Joe. Now, we know that Homo Joe is kind of a free spirit, but Buzz is a very reserved guy. He's had Buzz playing the trumpet, playing the violin, playing the hillbilly fiddle.
It's pretty incredible.
He's alive at a party.
Gary, I gotta ask you a question. You have it looks like a journal, and you write things
down.
Yeah, I
take notes. I got a memory like a sieve.
Okay, do you write down things at work particularly, or?
Well, what I notice in them and how I see them behave and what comes to mind.
Right.
You know, after you do it a while, you can kind of see a setup coming, and then you try to plunge into it. Just kind of like when you're doing a radio.
Right.
How long you've been doing it. All right, now we're here with Master Hypnotist Gary Conrad.
We're going to be at the Funny Bone Comedy Club in Green Bay, Wisconsin next week.
I promise, we'll plug the hell out of you in Green Bay.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. What he's done is put both Buzz and Homo Joe under.
What Buzz is doing right now is playing the drums, the bongos on his knees, and Homo Joe is playing the bongos on his legs standing up.
I just want to mention that during the last session, the last segment here, we were all keeping our laughter quiet because we didn't know if we were allowed to laugh. Right. Gary now says it's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh. Okay, can we start with Buzz, please?
Yes. What do you want? Oh, Buzz, you want Buzz doing?
You can do whatever.
Whatever. Don had asked about making him maybe an expert on sports.
All right, listen, Buzz, on three, your eyes are open, and you're the late, great Howard Cosell. You know everything about sports. 1, 2, 3. Eyes open, it's Howard Cosell, people.
I was there with Dandy Don Meredith and Frank Gifford in the beginning. I was there with Muhammad Ali. You're a very young man. You've asked me a question. I've got an answer for you. I'm Howard Cosell. I can answer any question you have about sports.
Can I ask him a question about sports?
Sure, ask him a question.
Who's the greatest football player of all time, Howard?
Frank Gifford is still, pound for pound, the greatest football player ever.
Really?
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Who is the greatest home run hitter of all time?
That would be, without a doubt, the great Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron.
Hey, you know it. That's terrific.
Because I'm Howard Cosell.
What's the greatest football game ever played? Can you tell us about that?
The Super Bowl.
Any particular one?
All of them.
What can you...
the thrill in Manila? That would be the great Muhammad Ali.
And you got along well with Muhammad Ali, didn't you?
We are the best of friends.
Right.
Always have been.
That's true.
Why does he grab for your head all the time? What's that indicative of?
Because he loves me. Because he knows I am the great Howard Cosell.
He always grabs up top. What's he going for there?
I'd rather not discuss my hair problem. Thank you.
Okay, put him back. And now Buzz is back to sleep.
How about Homo Joe? You want to do something with Homo Joe here?
He's got Buzz doing the bongos.
Homo
again.
Joe, after your eyes are open, you're Harry Carey, and you're singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and you just had four Budweisers. One, two, three. Eyes open.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd.
Wait, get a little louder.
I can't eat the damn Cracker Jacks.
We are videotaping Joe now.
So make me.
Now you're Bette Midler singing for us, won't you be? Bette Midler singing.
On the wings of fly, I can fly like the wings of the bird.
Now can you make him very macho and make him think that Mike's a beautiful girl?
I can fly.
Stand this way. Now listen, on three, you're the most virile, vigorous man ever, your G. Gordon Liddy, and Mike is the most beautiful woman from your stacked and packed calendar. And the more I snap my fingers, the more you just want to come on a mic and examine that piece he's got. One, two, three, eyes open.
Hey, Mrs. Liddy, you're looking very good. I'm very virile over here. I think I got a problem down over here, too.
We're
still fighting over those inches, you know, in the yard. You know, we got that problem with the fence.
Stand this way, right? Listen up. On three, your eyes are open. You think Mike stole your social organ, and you got a hot date tonight. One, two, three. Eyes open, and
hi.
Hey. Are we going to cover up tonight, eh?
Yeah, I'm going to cover up tonight. Good. Why do you want me to cover up tonight?
Well, you know, we have a big date.
Oh, yeah, we do have a big date.
Absolutely. Now you're mad at Mike. You don't have a date with Mike. Mike stole your social organ. You got to use a restroom badly, but you can't get there until you find your social organ. And you know Mike's got it. One, two, three.
God. Ooh, Mike.
Yes, Joe.
Mike, could you please give it back?
No, I don't think so.
I gotta go, man.
You got some of yours?
He's got Mike.
What's it look like?
It's about that big, you know, and it's about that round, and I need it, you know, because I gotta go.
Oh, really? Why do you think I have it?
Because I think you took it.
I didn't take it.
You look the type. You would take it from me.
Really? I'm not going to give it back to you.
You got to give it back.
I don't want to.
Well, Stanisley. Listen. On three, Buzz, your eyes are open, and you're a Yogi Bear. What do you think? Eyes open, Yogi.
Hey, Booba. How's about you and me outsmart Ranger Smith and get a bacon egg basket? Hey, Booba. I'm smart than the average bat. Hey.
Yogi, they got a new ranger. How does he look to you?
Hi. And what's this ranger's name?
I'm Ranger Mike. Hi, Yogi.
Ranger Mike. Good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you very much, Yogi.
All right. That's great. Welcome to Yellowstone Park.
Hey, put him out again, Gary. Can you do that? Hey, Gary. Gary, I gotta ask you, can you make him sing as loudly as a human being? Like, really something Buzz would never do, just sing loud, super loud.
Listen, on three, your eyes are open. Buzz, you think you're Kate Smith. You're the loudest singer that it ever was, ever. And you're singing God Bless America as loud as you can. You're going to raise the roof off this place with how loud you're singing. One, two, three. Eyes open right now. Sing it.
God bless America. Land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through.
See, now I play Greenville, South Carolina, too, to get you in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah,
I love that
yes,
song,
we
Greenville,
do.
South Carolina.
Yes, we do. One last thing now. Yeah. You don't know who this guy is, but Buzz does in his mind.
Yeah.
Could you ask Buzz to be Tom Gavin, even though you don't know who he is?
Yeah.
Buzz knows who he is.
Buzz, your eyes are open. You're Tom Gavin. One, two, eyes open, Tom Gavin.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
How's it going today, Tom?
Good.
Tom, how do you spell good?
J-O-N-T. Good.
Okay, put him back under. I got one more for you. Ask him to be Dennis Murphy. He knows who that is, too.
All right, throw your eyes over your Dennis Murphy. One, two, three. I don't do this.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
I love you, Mike.
Hey, I love you, too, Dennis.
Dennis Miller.
Guys, I'm 3 year eyes open. You're going to notice that Mike is wearing ladies' underwear as one, two, three. Eyes open. Take a look at that. What he's
doing. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, how do you describe that?
You're very delicious.
Oh, Joe.
It's gross. No. I don't want to see that.
Count of three, they get 50% smaller one today. 50%.
Don't show me that.
No.
Oh, well, no. Why not?
What about that?
You've got the smallest penis I've ever seen.
Oh, please.
Whoops. Give him one more, Gary. Give him one more good one.
Listen, on three, your eyes are open. You can be talking with Don and Mike. Everything's normal. Every time I snap my fingers, Mike has a gas attack. It's just, it smells like a paper mill.
You know Don and Mike and the radio show.
You don't know how true that is, what you just asked, Gary. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. What's the problem?
Somebody cut one in here.
Buzz, what?
No, what's the problem?
Well, now, one of you, you know, had gas.
Not me.
Not me.
There's a guest in the studio. What are you thinking?
Oh,
actually, now you're one of the Beatles. You're singing a song, one of the
Beatles. Eyes open, Beatles.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night.
Now you're freaking that song out like Yoko, one of the Beatles.
Back to being Paul.
And I've been working like a dog.
All right, enough. Take him out. Take him out.
Oh, bravo.
I haven't gotten to that chapter yet, guys.
Oh, man.
Maybe next time.
Fantastic.
Oh, you are fantastic.
That's
Gary.
Great, Gary.
Master hypnotist, Gary Conrad. He will be in Green Bay next week.
Green Bay at the Funny Bone Comedy Club, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
And when are you going to be in Greenville?
We don't have yet, but we're going to be down in Greenville real soon.
Beautiful. You are welcome on this show anytime, Gary.
Cool.
Anytime. I mean, now both Buzz and Joe are still sleeping in your arms.
Yeah.
When will you wake them up?
Oh, what about November?
We need Buzz in our next break for the news.
Buzz on three, your eyes are open. You're Louis Armstrong. What do you
do? Eyes open, Louis. What a wonderful world this would be.
What do you think?
I've seen the skies of blue. And trees of green.
Wait, can you wake Buzz up now, or do you have to do it during a commercial?
I got to take you. They're real deep, so it's going to take a bit of a process.
All right, well, then you take them out of here and go.
I don't know if they can move. They can't move,
so you got to do it in here.
We'll do a break?
All right, yeah, we'll go to a break. You think you can wake Buzz up in the next 5 minutes?
Sure.
Okay, good. Then when we come back...
Oh, man, fantastic. We'll tell Buzz everything he did.
I don't know what his lead story will be tonight on News and Comment, but...
His lead story will be his brains are scrambled.
I think the lead story will be he sang like Yoko Ono.
And Kate Smith, God Bless America.
Louis Armstrong. You're great. Gary Conrad.
Great job, Gary.
Thank you.
He's really good. And we got all of that on videotape.
Yeah, Buzz is going to love to look at that videotape.
We'll be back. He's the Don and Mike Show.
You guys got a big Thanksgiving plan?
No, thank God.
It's a long weekend with nothing to do except the three F's. Food, football, and making love.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
You want to play a game?
Yes.
Okay, I just got my new copy of What Counts. I love this book. This is the Harper's Index book.
All right.
This is where they take surveys of Americans with the most retarded questions every year.
All right.
To ask people. I'll give you a pedestrian one to start, and then we'll make them tougher as we go along.
Yeah, I get competitive with Buzz. I see him getting his papers out. He gets his papers out, and that makes me want to grab my paper.
That's already. Hey, you know, before I get to this, Buzz.
Yes.
Why don't you tell everybody that load of BS you told me last night? Let me just. If anybody heard the show on Tuesday, we had a master hypnotist in here, and he made Buzz play the bongos, play an air guitar, sing like Kate Smith, sing like Paul McCartney. this, do a Howard Cosell impression,
mm-hmm.
all of this animated physical stuff that Buzz never does.
Right.
We videotaped it.
Right.
We had a big laugh about it. Everybody at the ratings party last night was asking Buzz about it.
Yes, they were.
Buzz comes up to me and he says, I said, hey, that was, you know, you're pretty great. You're really a pretty inhibited guy, and mm-hmm. this hypnotist brought you out of your shell.
Mm-hmm.
And Buzz says to me, I wasn't really hypnotized.
I was fully conscious the whole time. I remember everything that was said, everything that happened, and I remember trying to keep a straight face and not laugh at certain things that I heard people say.
But do you think there's potential that you were under?
No, I really
because
don't.
I've heard of people that are hypnotized say they can remember some of this.
Then please sing like you did, as animated as you did, like Kate Smith. God bless America!
Okay. Well, you know, there.
See, well, why did you fake it?
Well, you know, it's showbiz.
I know, but I would have appreciated sincerity.
Well, what about... what about, who else was, Homo Joe, I forgot about Homo Joe, was he under?
I haven't had a chance to talk to Joe since that happened, so I don't know what, and you know what, maybe I was in a way.
Let me hear Howard Cosell.
Hello again, it's Howard Cosell. I am an expert on sports.
You know, because we didn't think you could ever be that, come out of your shell that much.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
He remembers it without us even telling him.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's proof right there.
Yeah.
Well, then why at some point, I understand that you wanted the show to go on.
Right.
But why didn't you at some point, or even at the beginning, just say, hey, listen, guys, you know, it didn't take.
Because I just didn't want to spoil everything. And you know what else? I felt badly for the hypnotist because he had the three of us in this room, and we're going through the hypnotic exercises where he's got us reaching up into the air, and he's snapping our heads around, and he's snapping his fingers, and he's talking, and you know, we're going over stuff, and, you know, he's like probing our minds.
I'll tell you, you had me fooled 100%.
And you gave us 30 minutes. You gave him 30 minutes to prepare us
right.
to go on the air, and 20 minutes into it, he had nothing. I mean, we weren't... fertile soil for him, and so I began to worry. So I started, you know, coming up with
really?
Stuff.
And you're kidding me?
No, I'm not. I'm not kidding. Now
I mean,
I'm not saying
that Kate Smith. I was amazed.
I'm not saying that it didn't have some effect, because he does have you do this thing where you reach very, very, very high up into the air to the point that it sort of pinches a nerve in your shoulder.
Don't you think that maybe he let something loosen you that loosened your inhibitions? I mean, even now, mm-hmm. the fact that right now in command you sang like Kate Smith.
Right.
I've known you, Buzz, 20 years, and I got the feeling that up until today, if I would have asked you to do that,
right.
you would have said no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to pull your arm to get you to do your stupid Paul Lynde impression.
I remember the way you did the news after the fact. You were so energized. You seemed different. You seemed,
I was pumped. I mean, the adrenaline had been pumping because there was a lot going on there, and I wanted to do well. You know, I wanted to perform well. So, yeah, I was pumped. And I'm not saying the guy didn't have any effect, and I'm not saying there's nothing to hypnotism because of the nerve pinching and the head snapping and the stuff that
he did. Wait, hold on. What about the nonstop bongo playing during the commercials?
That was exhausting. I thought I was going to... I think Joe did say something about his arms wearing out. He also wanted us to tap our feet while we were playing the bongos on our legs and humming.
You know, no offense. I saw you do that during the commercials.
Mm-hmm. Right, yes. Yeah. I wanted to keep up the illusion even through the commercials.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I just didn't want to spoil it. I didn't want to wreck that segment of the show, and I didn't want to cause the hypnotist to have a horrible day.
Man.
Well,
now
you've wrecked that segment of the show.
No.
Do you think there's any chance that... you know, that you were under, though?
I'm not saying it had no effect. Don says...
Did he say at any point when he was in here...
Let me play the train wreck sound effect. Hold on a second.
All right, what'd you want to ask him? Did he say at any point that, you know, you won't remember anything that happened when he was taking you back out?
No, he never said anything like that.
Man. I'd like to talk to Homo Joe. I'd like to find out if he...
Yeah, I would too, actually.
Of course, Homo Joe wasn't as entertaining as you were.
Well, he was when he sang in Chinese.
Oh, that was great.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember that, too. The guy actually did make us a little loopy, and the thing I was telling people last night, and I think this is true.
You're loopy for the hypnotism.
When you've been hypnotized, it gives you permission to do stuff that you wouldn't normally do. Because, like with drinking, people can say, well, he's drunk. That's why he's acting that way. Or he's hypnotized. He's unconscious. He has no idea what he's doing. So that sort of frees you up and helps you get by your inhibitions so you can do some of those things.
So in that regard, perhaps you were hypnotized.
Like I said, with the nerve pinching and the head snapping
and I would
say
to you that that suggestion is still there now with the fact that not only are you singing,
mm-hmm.
but you're talking about this now.
Well,
because I know, but hold on. The buzz that I know
right.
is the analytical buzz. The buzz uh-huh. who would think five steps ahead
right.
and would know that if I asked something on the air like that,
mm-hmm.
where you know that you have the chance to say, you know what, it was a scam. I was just acting that way.
Right.
The buzz that, the response that I would expect from Buzz
uh-huh.
is that Buzz would say, no, it was a great experience. I don't know what you're talking about. See, just the... Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
The fact that he's being honest about this now says to me that the hypnotist did do something to release...
It's possible.
...something in you.
It's possible, but like I said, I remember... And you said that when you
I'd
were
like
hypnotized...
I'd like to hear, you know, there are other people that have obviously been hypnotized
right.
in shows and things like that. I seem to remember that I've heard that before, that I did... Where people have said something along the lines of, I remember behaving like an idiot up on that stage. I couldn't really stop doing it,
mm-hmm.
but I certainly remember that I was doing it. I've heard that from people.
Frida had a good point last night. And Don said that when he was hypnotized...
When he was grabbing you?
Yes, between grabs. And by the way, Don said when he was hypnotized a few years ago, he really went out. He went to sleep, and there are things he doesn't remember. Frida says she was kind of in and out. She said that she also felt that she could have stopped doing the things she was being instructed to do, but she said, and she pointed this out about me. I said, yeah, I could have stopped at any time. And she said, but you didn't.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's
a good point.
I'd love to have the guy on the air. I mean, the hypnotist himself.
It's showbiz, you know.
But I mean, it is showbiz, but I mean, you didn't stop, you know, and you were
right.
doing things.
Right.
You know, now I wish we'd gotten him to do more embarrassing things.
You were doing things that are not traits of your personality. That's what I find...
The Kate Smith blows me away.
Disturbing
that.
About this.
I'm a news guy, and my basic personality, I'm kind of a serious guy in real life.
But I'm talking away from the microphone.
Right.
And I've been in social situations
right,
with you.
Right,
I mean, I've been in situations... Well, I don't want to describe the situations I've been in with
Buzz. He's very reserved. Would you describe yourself? You're kind of a...
Yes.
You're kind of an introverted guy, believe
it or
not.
I wish I wasn't so reserved,
right.
as a matter of fact, and maybe that's why I really came out.
See, you have a different... When you talk like that, that's not the old Buzz.
I agree. That's exactly the point that I was trying to make.
We were talking about during your newscast, you had this extra, energy.
He mumbled something, and I wish he'd said it clearer, because I really didn't catch every word when he was doing the hypnotic talking and kind of a monotone thing and snapping his fingers and talking to me like this. He was saying, visualize the old you, visualize the new you. The new you is confident. The new you is talented. I remember hearing, you know, but I was sort of in and out on that because he was mumbling, and I couldn't catch every word he was saying. I hope... that really had some of
I'm telling you, and don't take offense at this, because you're the
Fine.
New Buzz.
Right.
The old Buzz
uh-huh.
would not have had the balls to say on the air, hey, I was faking it. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. That is
at the crux of my argument here.
I can't say you're wrong.
It's amazing. And I don't... Who knows the subconscious mind?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what's deep within
it? Spooky, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Really? So now you're confident.
That's my story.
Now, when you were asleep years ago at the other station, when you were totally asleep on the floor,
yeah.
you were faking it, right?
No!
Just kidding.
I'm sorry. When I was hypnotized, I was hypnotized.
No, you were asleep.
I was freaking hypnotized.
Because I was saying things during that show, and you would have gone, F you. You know, you would have sat up straight.
No, this guy snapped his fingers, and I mean, I collapsed on the floor and fell asleep.
Do you remember that rash you had after that?
I know when I woke up, my butt was bleeding. I wanted a cranberry juice desperately.
Yeah, we had a whole gang in there.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, could you tell Don and Mike that I think he just hypnotized you guys into thinking this is interesting course of conversation.
Well, why don't you hypnotize yourself to change the station, you big retard?
Well, everything was cool up to this point. You all gotten preoccupied with whether or not they were hypnotized.
Hey, listen, it's pretty significant to us. It's pretty it was just on the show the other day.
Let me
it's not true, and it was great while it was happening.
Let me refresh your memory. Listen to TV's Bob Barker.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Got it?
You don't tell you. We do not tell you how to dip the fries into the oil, do we?
No.
Do we?
No.
Listen, I feel confident enough in our program. If you don't like it, we'll have 4,999,999,999. You know what I mean, listeners. Goodbye.
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 There we go.
Hello. Goodbye.
Yeah, right. Whew. I'm not going to sleep well tonight because we lost one listener.
Nah, he's still with us.
Everybody.
I hate to tell you that. I know you're disappointed at that, but he's still hanging on.
Hello.
Oops.
Hold on. What am I doing here?
I'm really fascinated by this whole thing, whether it's
listen,
true.
Anybody who doesn't... I don't care what anybody does. I think this is a fantastic revelation.
I do, too.
That Buzz has come out with this news. Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yes.
I just wanted to say I love your show, babe.
Oh, was he doing a Jack? Was that a Jack Diamond?
That's Jack Diamond, but it was horrible delivery and it waited too long. You know, if you're going to get off a snappy line, let me give some of those junior comedy writers a little lesson here. Perhaps you get the line off without going.
Yeah, he was excited, Mike. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Now the phones are all malfunctioning.
Well, maybe it's the hypnotist.
What do you think, Buzz?
I think the phones are malfunctioning because of the hypnotist.
What was the hypnotist's name? Anson Williams? What was his name?
Otzi Weber.
Otzi Weber.
Ralph Mel. Donnie Most. No, his name was something Conrad.
Gary Conrad?
Gary Conrad.
Like Gary. Yeah, Gary. It was Gary.
Hello, Ray.
Yeah, I got a question. Yeah. You're saying that the proof that Buzz is hypnotized is that he's denying he's hypnotized.
Yes. Yes.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Then you must not listen to the show regularly.
I'm listening carefully, and I know that he's a different guy, sort of, but, I mean, from what I understand, he would have known if he was put under. I mean, you knew when you got dropped.
Well, let me explain something to you. What Don was saying about that is the fact that Buzz came out and said, I think I was not hypnotized. He would normally, if he had done it for the show, he would have kept that under his hat, and he wouldn't have brought it to the forefront. And the fact that he's brought that to the forefront would indicate that maybe there's been
some kind of a change in
within
him.
His mind that makes the way he approaches things a little different.
Let me give you a graphic illustration. You know, I pretty much say whatever comes in my mind and out my mouth.
Yeah. Right.
To a lesser extent, Mike does. If I'm like way up here, Mike's about a third of the way down from me there. Yeah, right?
Oh, a little lower than that.
All right. But relatively speaking, on that scale,
yes.
Buzz does not show.
He keeps
I'm
it
way
keeps
back there.
Plays it close to the vest.
Right.
Right. And Buzz is always very concerned about offending, about saying something on the show that Mike or I wouldn't think was right, about rocking the boat.
Right. And the fact that he's come out with this, it's a different modus operandi for him.
It's a different Buzz.
But I think Buzz would know if he was hypnotized, though.
See, that's the question. I don't know. I'd like to ask that of anybody else that's been hypnotized. Have you ever been put under where you thought that you were in control, but maybe you couldn't change things?
Well, a friend of mine got put under on one of those stage shows, and he said afterwards, he talked to the guy, and that unless the hypnotist says, you will not remember anything, you will remember it, apparently.
And I don't think that Gary Conrad said, you won't remember anything.
No, he didn't. And I think what we've learned, I think, is that everybody responds differently to hypnotism.
So I'd like to ask Homo Joe if he remembers everything he did.
Yeah, me too. I think Homo Joe's the tiebreaker on this.
All right, thank you, my friend. Thank you, Ray. All right, goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, my name's Tom.
Yes, Tom.
And I've been in that situation Buzz is in, and I got to agree with Buzz about 1,000%.
About what?
I was hypnotized on stage at the Improv in L.A.
Right.
And after 20 minutes of listening to the guy and the light flash and everything, nothing. But you're in a situation, you want to go with it. You want to see what happens. And I'm pretty inhibited, too, in real life. But, man, on stage, I was doing all kinds of weird stuff and just having a good time. And I think Buzz is right. You kind of have permission.
And I will tell you, I still hold to the theory that you did it because you were hypnotized. Maybe Buzz did it because he was hypnotized. And I've heard from other people that, hey, I could have stopped any time, but you didn't. And like Frida said, you didn't do that.
That's right.
Well, you're right. I didn't do that. But I believe I made a conscious decision not to. Yeah, there might be some confidence boosting or visualization or something. But I really think, you know, it was my choice to do that.
Ooh, whatever. Okay, thank you, my friend.
Thanks.
Thank you.
For some people that maybe don't want to, Buzz, no offense, maybe don't want to accept the fact that somebody controlled their mind.
Hello, you're on the air. Hi there.
Very possible.
Hi, I think the fact that Buzz brought up the fact that Frida was fondling his breast is a little out of character, too.
No, I would have told that. I'm very proud of that, actually.
No, you know what? To an extent, Buzz, I've got to agree with her on that, too. Yes, correct. Thank you, Dr. Joyce Brothers.
Thank you, and tell us rest of the story.
The rest of the story. She liked Buzz's Paul Harvey.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Billy.
Hello, Billy.
Look, Buzz, exactly what you're talking about happened to me.
Huh?
When I got hypnotized by Tom DeLuca, this guy who does college campuses and stuff.
Heard of him, I think.
What's that?
I've heard of him, I think.
Yeah, he's real famous and he's real cool, but on stage, I was doing stuff that I normally would not do. Everybody was, like my brother and sister, everybody was like, wow, look at you, you were so great. I knew what I was doing, conscious about it, but I just felt I could actually do it because I was supposed to be hypnotized.
Right.
I mean, it gave me that...
And I think a lot of people, but I think that's being hypnotized.
It could be.
That could be it.
How else can you get a guy who really is tough to get out of his shell like Buzz? And God knows... We've given him the opportunity over the years to come out of his shell, and
right.
It wasn't until this incident
right.
that he came out of his shell. I'll say to you now, maybe it's only because Mike and I work with him every day, and we look at him and see him and know how much he talks and how much time. Sometimes we have to pull words from him.
Right.
Look at him right now.
You know what it was like?
Look at him sitting there. Look at his body language.
It depends on the subject. As Mike said on the air one day, he said, Buzz, you really wait for your opportunities, don't you? And I do, and, you know, sometimes I don't want to interrupt, or I don't, maybe I feel that whatever I have to say is not going to contribute anything, so I hang back. But, and there's never been, maybe it's not been the right time, I felt, for that. But see, with the hypnotism...
I've never heard you purge like this.
Don't you think that's, again, isn't that a different Buzz right
totally
now?
Totally different.
Well, the hypnotism was an excuse to perform out of character.
Okay, and then what is this today?
What is this today? We're talking about a subject that interests me that I have actually...
So you're saying we don't interest
you? No, all the time. But sometimes I have something to contribute and sometimes I don't. Today I feel much to contribute.
You'll find that the more you participate like this, the more trouble you'll get into.
Oh, I'm sure.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, it's just like when someone starts drinking...
I just want to say, Buzz, I'm glad we're on a subject that interests you today.
No, I'm always interested. I just don't always have something to contribute.
Yeah. What, my friend?
I was just going to say, when someone first starts drinking, who's never drank before, and they have like one or two beers, and you see them all acting loopy and crazy,
mm-hmm.
It's just because you know they're not drunk, but they're just using that as an excuse
right.
to act kind of weird.
Yeah, loopy for the booze.
All right, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Bye. Well, I don't know. The Buzz that I knew, and I'm not complaining. I don't mind new Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should all start referring to him as new Buzz.
The new Buzz, new improved Buzz.
New Buzz. The old Buzz would not have mentioned any of this on the air. Even when being prompted, the old Buzz...
Definitely kept it to himself.
Yeah, right.
Really? Interesting.
I think so.
I don't know that I agree, but I can't prove you wrong either.
So you think there's maybe... I mean, you're
yes.
saying there's a...
Yes.
You're telling us there's a chance.
Absolutely. There is a chance, although I just didn't feel that I was under somebody else's control.
Where's Mr. Coffee Shop through all this?
Homo Joe, who normally
is sitting on top of his phone.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah, that's me.
Yes, hi, Josh.
How you doing, buddy?
We're doing great, buddy.
I read something about this once. I wish I could remember the name of it. It was in a magazine. It's something about the human mind doesn't... Not everybody, but some people doesn't want to admit that it's been controlled. So what it does is it creates an environment where it could still act out like that, like it was hypnotized.
I buy that.
But to the person, they believe that they did it all themselves.
All right. Thank you, my friend. You see, Buzz, that's what happened to you, Buzz.
Could be.
I think that's it. I think that's exactly what happened.
I'm not saying you're wrong. It just didn't feel that way.
Listen, do me a favor. Just a nonverbal, as Mike and I continue to do the show, just give me a thumbs up or thumbs down if you enjoy what we're doing or if you don't enjoy what we're doing at any given moment.
I misspoke. I'm always interested. You know I'm always interested.
No. I can tell you. You know, sometimes you're not interested. That's fine.
But I think we all know now that the only time you're really interested is when it's about you.
Well,
world according to you.
That makes me part of this show then, doesn't it?
See? Now look at that. See? The old Buzz wouldn't have lipped off like that.
That's right. I didn't care for that.
Steve.
Yeah.
Hold on. Steve thinks you were under Buzz.
Okay.
Steve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Yeah.
I had a chance to talk to Tom DeLuca before one of his shows. And there's a couple of telltale signs. It sounds
sounds like you actually have been under.
Huh.
According to DeLuca, you are never actually out of control. He cannot make you do something you would not do.
Right, I've heard
voluntarily.
That. Mm-hmm.
What he tends to do is give your self-esteem and your self-confidence a boost.
When I was in the hotel room with my hypnotist, I didn't think I wanted to do that. I thought I was totally out of control, but I do remember it.
I think you did want to do that, Mike.
You know, maybe that's true, because I tell you, once it was all done, even though I thought I didn't want to do it, it was wonderful.
Well, how do you feel today?
Well, the cranberry juice is tasting a little bitter.
He's not talking to you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's talking to Buzz.
Oh, very good.
Buzz, how do you feel today?
I feel the same as always, only maybe a little better.
You feel energized?
Well, a little right now, yeah.
Yeah, a little more energetic,
yeah, sure.
A little more self-confident.
Right, sure.
Well, the good news is that'll last a few days.
Okay.
Oh, good. So by Monday, he'll be back to being himself?
That'll,
okay, good.
By next week, he'll be the old boring Buzz again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And what a relief.
Hello, Karen.
Yes.
Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, what can we do for you?
I love the new Buzz. You can't get rid of the new Buzz.
Well, you'll have to visit a hypnotist.
We won't until this spell wears off.
No, he can't go away in 2 days. He's got to stick around.
I'll try.
He used to have this mysteriousness about him. Now he's just sexy as heck.
I actually feel him slipping away right now.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah. Me too. I feel old Buzz coming to the surface. Old Buzz is trying to climb out of there.
Help me.
Hello, Buzz. Skip.
Yes.
All right, here's
John,
a guy who's...
Mike Buzz.
Here's a guy who says Buzz was not under.
I do not believe that Buzz was under. I worked with a hypnotist for about 5 years, and you can tell.
Well, how can you tell?
Well, Buzz would be able to tell because he was totally aware the whole time of everything that he was doing. And many times we would go along as ringers. If there were a lot of older people in the audience, he would use us as ringers. So they usually wouldn't go under, but we could fake it.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Right. Sure thing, but I really don't believe he was under. Buzz would have known if he was under or not.
All right, I just had to point out this is probably the guy that changed the trash bags in the office.
Okay, thank you.
Joe Mama.
Bye-bye.
Right, okay.
Bingo.
Gotcha.
All right, well, we'll be back with the new Buzz.
Yeah, the mystery, unsolved mysteries continue.
Was Buzz indeed under?
The new and improved Buzz is the Dawn and Mike Show.
As always, should you or any member of your IM force be caught or killed, the secretary will disavow all knowledge of your actions. This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. As always, should you...
The best of Don and Mike.
The guy who turned down the job as the millionaire on Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire. We tried to get in touch with him yesterday. Here is our friend, featured on Entertainment Tonight, Paul Walton.
Paul Walton, how are you?
Hi, everyone.
Paul.
I'm fine, thank you.
There
I'm
he is.
Working away here at Castle Creek Inn in San Diego.
The puffy and gray Paul Walton. Paul, we saw the clip of you on Entertainment Tonight.
Yes.
And you took the opportunity to pretty much say, ha, 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 ha.
Had to feel pretty good, Paul.
Well, you know what? I didn't think it would evolve into this. I really wish them the best, and I wish that they could have had a great matrimonial, you know, time together. But I don't mean to make it sound like ha 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 ha.
No, it's fantastic. I mean, it's exactly what I'd do if I was you.
But I'll tell you, that little bell went off in the Paul Walton brain that said, I'm not going to get involved in this. And it, you know, turned out to be the good judgment call on your part.
Well, you know, all my life I've been always just trying to make the right decisions. And obviously I'm single, so I don't know if I've always made the right decisions. And I don't want to be single the rest of my life. So by turning down the show, it was really gut-wrenching because I could have had a shot at being married and you know, tried to make a go of it. But
you know, if you're ever involved in something like this in the future, Paul, let's just get it right out of the way. Has anyone ever sworn out a restraining order on you?
Sought out a restraining order on me?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, Paul.
No, I mean...
Have you ever said you were going to kill your girlfriend?
I would never kill anyone. I would never even kill my worst enemy.
Have you ever let the air out of your girlfriend's tires?
No.
There you go. See, all right, that's it. He's a perfect candidate.
Why can't they even have a car to drive in? No.
But do you have two broken toilets in your backyard?
Two broken toilets? Broken toilet, it'd be fixed immediately.
This is the Rick Rockwell story we're telling you here, and we're just making sure that, you know, you're no Rick Rockwell. Just, to, I mean, if you were on the show, I mean, because I'm comparing you now to this guy.
Listen,
all the way.
Anybody who doesn't know, let me bring you up to speed.
Last week, this guy had been out of our lives for 3, 4, 5 years, this guy Paul Walton. He went on Oprah 5 years ago as a rich guy who couldn't meet a girl. She did a whole show about him.
Now, remember, I wasn't the rich guy that couldn't meet a girl. She did a show on male gold diggers, four guys that only wanted to meet a girl for her money. I was the guy that balanced the show. I was a guy that had money that didn't mind meeting a girl for any other reasons than just money.
Right, what I said.
Okay.
So, and he's also the world's number one celebrity ass kisser. He walks around with a giant pile of pictures of him with Tom Cruise, John Travolta.
Give us a number, okay? Paul, just give us a number of celebrities you've had your pictures taken with. Big time celebrities. What's how many?
And actually, those pictures, they're on my website, castlecreekinn.com.
How many do you have, Paul?
Well, I have over 350 photos, but you have to remember, that just memorializes the event that I went to. I'm a, what they call events-oriented.
So anyway.
I used to teach history. I taught high school, 12th grade government, 11th grade U.S. history. I was so tired of teaching out of the textbook.
So anyway, it's been 5 years since we heard from this guy. He calls us out of the blue last week, week before, and he says, listen, I was offered the role as the multimillionaire for the show Who Wants to Be a Multimillionaire? And of course, we didn't believe him, so we put in a call to Fox.
Sure.
In the span of 10 minutes on the show, we had the producer of the show on who verified the fact that, Paul Walton was the first choice to be the multimillionaire, and he turned it down. And now...
It's the best decision he ever made.
In retrospect,
it's
a fantastic decision, because who doesn't hate this guy, Rick Rockwell?
And I really appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I want you to know, you guys are the one that broke the story. I called you because, you know... remember I met you guys at that Halloween party at the Planet Hollywood?
Right.
Remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. And so I've always regarded you guys as my friend. In fact, I saw one of you down there in Florida.
Yeah, you saw me down at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, remember that?
Yes.
You recognized me. I didn't really quite recognize you because you were wearing some funny outfit during Halloween, so I never knew what you looked like.
Right. Well, that's right, because you were, I believe that was the year that you were Wendy and I was Dave Thomas.
those were the outfits we wore that year.
I just happened to remember that Halloween
show. That's what it was. That's right. So I consider you guys not just, you know, news media types, but you're like my friends.
Now, don't go too crazy there, Paul. Well, you never know with us. You know, you got to be very careful.
Well, I've always considered you my friend.
That's very
whatever
nice.
You've considered me on the air, I consider you my friend.
Very nice man.
So, Paul, besides being...
I just want to say, when I called you on that Tuesday when it was about to air, I thought you were just a little station there in Washington, D.C. I didn't know that you're in 55 markets. You're probably even in San Diego as we speak.
No, we're getting close to there, though. We do sign on in New York next week. That's exciting for us.
So you guys are big, and I had no idea when I was talking to you last week, I was on Nationwide.
Well, yeah, well, we are, yeah.
Let me ask you this.
You probably have me on Nationwide right now, huh?
Yeah, well,
of course we do. Yeah.
You're astute.
Oh, my God.
You're astute. Listen, besides being on Entertainment Tonight, what other media outlets have interviewed you as the guy who turned down the job?
Well, ever since I aired on your show, I guess a lot of people heard about it, and then they contacted me from the New York Post. So they did a big article on Sunday with a picture and an article, and then right after that, it spawned, I was on Inside Edition.
All of them.
Extra, Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah, we saw that one.
You saw that one.
Yeah.
And I was on Good Morning America.
When were you on Good Morning America?
That was on Monday morning.
Wow.
And then 2020 called and said, don't do anyone else. So I refused others, and then 2020 called yesterday and said, we're not going to need you for Thursday's piece, but we'll keep you in mind.
Oh, that's nasty.
So, so now is the well run dry? Is there anybody else still calling you?
Primarily, you're not going to believe this, but now there are a lot of radio stations.
Of course, yes.
Shocker.
Sure. Well, I was in the newspaper here just today. On the
bottom feeders.
Page, but bottom feeders. But what a couple of radio stations are trying to do is set me up with some of the 50 that didn't make it.
Oh, really?
Can you believe that?
Are you going to do that?
You wouldn't go out with any of those bims, would you?
I'd have to get to know them. As anyone else, I just want to get to know someone.
Listen, just let me say this to you, Paul.
Yes.
Before you commit to do any cheesy radio promotion, remember that we're your cheesy radio friends. I mean, if you decide that you do want to do some kind of contest, you know,
you can write your own ticket on this show, Paul. You can actually devise anything you want to do as far as matrimony, as far as a lady, and we can help. But don't go down the wrong road. You had good judgment with that millionaire show. Have good judgment with these slimy disc jockeys.
Well, I have a premonition that it's going to be here at Castle Creek Inn. Some girl who listens to your show is going to hear this, stay at Castle Creek Inn. We're going to get to know each other the normal way.
Well, that's the perfect dream scenario for you. She spends money at your hotel and
she spends $99 to rent a room. Then you end up marrying her.
Who went down to 99 should be 109, the Don and Mike special.
No, you told us last week that the Don and Mike special was 99.
I said 99?
I think you did.
You
I
did.
Better check that tape there.
Paul Walton.
Paul Walton. It's normally 159, so anyone who listens is going to get a deal. But
I have to point out that when we talked to you last time, you were very down in the mouth about your business, and you were saying that you were having trouble attracting people to the inn. Has that changed now that you've been on all these different places?
It hasn't changed considerably because most people don't even know how to get a hold of me. I don't think I even said my website, CastleCreekInn.com.
Well, you've said it a million times on this show. I can't help it that the other people won't let you say it, but that's not the third time you've mentioned it today.
I'll tell you that Don said to me that when we were looking at you, the place looked pretty good. It looked nice.
It didn't look like a rundown Tijuana type hotel. I mean, it had a nice upscale look to it on Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, absolutely. No, and I'm sorry for these shameless promotions. I keep saying CastleCreekInn.com, but I want you to know it is beautiful, but just no one knows. Kevin Costner in The Field of Dreams says, if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm. Your proof that doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen, Kevin. I don't mind telling Kevin that himself. Kevin Costner, it doesn't happen.
Listen,
trust me.
Paul.
Yes.
Paul, glad that you're getting all this exposure.
Thanks.
If you do want to do some kind of a cheesy radio contest, to get married or to meet a dream girl, don't go to some other radio station because then we'll be pissed.
And, Paul, you mentioned that we're friends.
Yes.
If you feel that way, is there any chance that some more of the national television outlets will be calling upon you? Any chance that perhaps they'll be talking to you again?
Oh, more than likely.
Yeah. You might want to throw in, if that happens, on an interview that you pulled out of it. One of the decisions was, I took the advice of my good friends Don and Mike, and give us credit for that.
Well, you guys are the first show that I was on Tuesday.
Just say, I was going to do it, but
Don and Mike told me not to.
Be a hell of a shot in the arm for us.
Being as we're going on in New York early next week.
Oh, that's right.
Or you could even if you didn't want to really lie, because that would be a total lie, you could actually say something like,
I bounced it off my friends
Don and Mike. Don and Mike.
I think before I do anything now in life, I'm going to ask you guys first.
There you go.
And you know what? As a matter of fact, whenever you talk to disc jockeys, I know this pisses us off when other disc jockeys are mentioned when we talk to celebrities.
As I said on the Don and Mike show.
Yeah.
Right.
Do that whenever a morning zoo calls you.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. I think I can do that. Let me try to say this right. As I've said already on the Don and Mike show.
Yeah,
that's all we need.
I think I can get this. I can get this line out here.
And Paul, just remember this: if you do decide that you want to do some kind of cheesy promotion, do it with us first.
That's right.
Okay. Do you want to do a cheesy promotion?
Well, I don't want to do anything cheesy. I've always tried to do things right in life.
First class.
And I'll tell you something. If anyone stays, I don't care if they're single or they're not, and they want to call into the station and let you know how this place is, they're welcome.
Oh, okay. Listen, I would like to talk about, do you want to do a contest to meet one of the women from that show? Is that what you want?
Well, I don't know if it's a contest. I think unless you want to call life one big contest, all I would love to do is just fall in love and get married, after we already know each other for, maybe about a year.
All right, then do you want me and Mike to find a girl for you?
Well,
you want us to start the contest to be...
It doesn't have to be your
Paul's
wife.
Girlfriend.
Find Paul's fiance. Paul Walton's fiance.
Do you want us to put the wheels in motion?
Well, it certainly wouldn't hurt.
I'll tell you something right now, Paul. Nobody could do it like we could do it.
I'm sure of that. You have, 6 million listeners out there?
Yes.
Jeez. This is too good to be true.
All right, so do I have a firm commitment for you that we will put our promotional machine to work on finding Paul Walton's fiance?
Oh, my God. This is every single man's dream here. How do I get to be the lucky one? By saying no to the millionaire show.
That's it, Paul. That's
I get
what
to
did.
Be on the Don and Mike show.
That's right.
And listen, I'm thinking 10 steps ahead now, but none of this crap with you hiding behind a sheet.
Right.
When we finally screen the BIMs, we'll bring them all right down here. We'll bring you in. Let you pick the girl you want to be with.
And they can even see me.
Yes, face to face, of course.
My picture's on the web now, so they can see it.
And then you come out here, you fly to our studio, you come in here, we narrow the list down, what would you say, 10 women perhaps?
Yeah, well, we'll find the 10 hottest women for you.
10 hottest women, you know, to be Paul Walton's fiance, and, you know, and they see you, they see what you're all about, and we take it from there.
Now, Paul, how would you like this? You fly up to New York. We're going to be doing the show from New York 2 days a week. You fly to New York.
I would love to. I love New York City. It's my favorite city in the whole country.
Okay, well then, beautiful. So is that a firm commitment?
Yeah, I'd definitely fly to New York for that. Plus to see you guys. You guys are great.
All right, so we should start the Find a Fiancé for Paul Walton contest.
See, and it's not Mary. You know, there's no real commitment there.
Right.
I think everybody
right,
that's
right.
broken off an engagement
right.
knows that. You know, it's the fiancé.
Exactly.
That's right.
Okay, so that's a deal.
Yeah, getting married should not be like a business arrangement. Getting married should be for one reason and one reason only, because you're in love and you don't want to be with anyone else.
But do we have a business arrangement to find you a fiancé?
A business arrangement.
And we just back it off and be, you know, the game would be, who wants to get engaged to a multimillionaire?
Well, I certainly wouldn't be paying for it, so in that sense, it's not a business arrangement, but it could be a gentleman's agreement.
Well, that's binding.
Fantastic,
Paul. Thank you. All right, Paul. Beautiful.
Great.
Hold on, please. One of my representatives will pick up and give you some information.
Okay.
We're really going to start this then, Paul.
Okay.
We'll really start this. We'll bring you and a bunch of girls to New York.
Okay.
Okay? And then you pick this girl, and you got to make her your fiancé.
Well, I've got to get to know her.
Yes, you can get to know her.
Paul, just think about it. I mean, think about the difference between marriage and engagement. There's, you know, there's no real commitment with the engagement except the ring.
Yeah, and buy a cheap ring.
Well,
or you know what? If that makes you feel uncomfortable,
you know, she picks her nose at dinner. You could probably dump her the next day.
You pick the girl that you like the best. You take her out, and then she has the chance to be Paul Walton's fiancée.
You know, personally, I think both of you should come out here to Castle Creek Inn and broadcast from here.
Would you stop with that? You'll be engaged to be engaged.
And we can house 30 people here. I got 30 rooms.
30? You know what it would be like when I was in high school? There's kids all the time that were getting pre-engaged.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was like the dumbest thing. And it was guys that didn't knock their girlfriends up.
Right.
Guys that were like just in love. And when they were juniors in high school, they would give pre-engagement rings to their girlfriends.
Or if you want to go way back, who wants to get pinned by a multimillionaire?
Yeah. How would you feel about that, Paul?
Well, how about who would just at least like to go on a date with them, with Paul?
Oh, there has to be more commitment than a date.
It has to be a little more than that.
How about pinned? Who wants to be pinned by a multimillionaire?
That's right. And, you know, you come up with a Paul Walton pin. You know, maybe a little like brooch with your picture on it.
And listen, if you like, yes, we can bring the whole show to San Diego and do the whole thing from your, you know, La Quinta Inn.
Yeah, La Quinta Inn. I think it would be beautiful here. It'd be a wonderful romantic place.
It'd be huge. It'd be wonderful. It's San Diego. It's probably very gorgeous.
We bring you. Well, you're already there. So we bring us, the show out there.
This is the Napa Valley of the South. No one knows. We have 15 wineries right here.
Paul, while you're not promoting, let's just. This could be a wonderful idea, Paul.
Do we have a green light on who wants to be pinned by a multimillionaire?
What is the word pinned mean?
Pinned is pre-engagement, like Don was mentioning.
It means you're going steady. How about that? Who wants to go steady with a multimillionaire?
Perfect.
There certainly is no commitment in that.
There's really no commitment, Paul. That's the fun of it. And then if something came of it, like an engagement and then a future marriage,
then imagine.
Well, imagine that value for our show.
Wow.
I mean, that's really, who wants to be pinned by a multimillionaire? That's hysterical.
Who wants to go steady with a multimillionionaire?
But we'll do our best to get.
I think that might be a little bit better than pinned.
What's that?
All right, this could be open to many interpretations.
Who wants to go steady with a multimillionaire?
All right, Paul. You got to give her something, though, Paul.
Oh, I think I could arrange something to give her.
Especially if we're going to come out to, you know, your bed and breakfast.
You know, you got to give her a friendship ring or something.
Right.
There you go.
Sure.
Okay?
Not a problem. There we go.
All right, well, then that's a firm commitment. We will start the wheels turning on who wants to go steady with a multimillionaire.
I, you know, in the coming weeks, I guess we'll hone and refine it. We'll find out exactly what Paul Walton's criteria for a woman. You know, we'll find out that what
I
you're
believe
looking
for. Breathing.
Breathing. A pulse.
Yeah. They have to be at least breathing, yeah.
What is just out of curiosity, what's your cutoff age there, Paul?
Well, if I had my choice, it would be someone who, I've never been married. I'd like to find someone.
Paul, I'm simply asking for an age.
What's the cutoff age? What's the oldest you'll accept a contestant for?
Probably mid-30s.
mid-30s. And how old are you, Paul?
I'm 44.
Beautiful.
Very all right, Paul. But I look young. You guys have met me.
Oh, no, you look great on Entertainment Tonight.
You
I was just saying that yesterday.
You look so great.
Thank you.
You look great.
Hold on, Paul. Yeah. Hold on, please. Hold on. Yeah. That was rapidly turned into who wants to slap a multimillionaire.
I know. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But listen,
I'm not going to let the disc jockeys take away our plum.
Right.
You know,
who wants to go steady with a multimillionaire?
Brilliant.
To be honest, it's funnier than Pinned.
Right.
And Pinned is like from the 20s or something like
Sign
that.
Sign him up, Broyhill.
Who wants to go steady with a multimillionaire?
Sign him up. We can really get like the top five girls and bring them out to San Diego and do a show from San Diego.
Who wouldn't want to go out to that beautiful part of the country?
Of course. Right.
Right now we
go in his soaking tub.
I'm going to go on that website.
Real holes in the wall. I think it's a nice place.
It looked nice on Entertainment Tonight.
Absolutely. He sure does like to push it a lot, though.
That's right. He's going to have to give us that place for free.
Yeah, right. No special raise. Got to be calm.
Got to be on him like a cheap suit.
Everything. Your room, your food, calm. Just like in Lost in America.
Absolutely.
The Desert Inn has heart.
Desert Inn has heart.
The Desert Inn has heart.
You lost
this
the next thing.
The Dawn and Mike show.
Tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just going on there and point and click, get in there and talk about www.com. You got them naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
This is the story of...
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Hello, my brothers.
Hey! Oh, Tom Gavin. Hello, Tom.
Hello there, buddy.
It's Thomas Aloysius Gavin.
Yes? Guess what? I can hear you. I was up in the mountains just
climbing?
Monday, and I heard the show.
Were you hiking?
I was hiking, and I was shooting, I shot a deer, and I shot a rabbit.
You went hunting?
Hunting, yep.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. Somebody put a gun in your hand?
Who would let you carry a gun, Tom?
I don't know. I was the monster. The monster went hunting.
Tom, did you really... You know, this is hard to decipher. Yeah. It might have been a dream. Tom, did you really go hunting?
Yes, I did. I shot a squirrel.
Well, now, you just told us that you shot a deer.
We almost shot a deer.
Yeah, but you really didn't, did you, Tom?
Nope. We shot a squirrel.
Uh-huh. Where did you go hunting, Tom?
Up in Bryce Mountain.
You really went up into the mountains and shot a squirrel?
Yeah.
Tom?
Yes?
Did they do a deliverance on you?
No.
Have you seen the movie Deliverance?
No, I have not.
Did they make you squeal real loud?
No, they didn't.
And you really shot the squirrel all by yourself?
Yes, I did.
Did you eat it?
Steady
no.
Enough.
What did you do with it after you shot it?
He's laying dead up there in the woods.
Do you like guns, Tom?
Yes, I do.
Where'd you get the gun, Tommy?
A friend of mine.
Really? And a friend of yours took you up in the back of his pickup truck all the way up to hunt?
No, me, my mom.
Oh, your mom went hunting, too.
Lorraine.
Mom didn't go hunting. We got a timeshare up there in Bryce. Me, my mom's friend.
Right.
My sister's
Gavin.
Dylan.
Meet the Gavins.
Dylan. And the dog.
Jesus.
And my sister's boyfriend went up. And
you were at the Gavin Hunting Lodge.
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
That's terrific. Did you wear orange or camouflage?
Nope. We did it in the car.
Tom's family
shot it from the car?
Yeah, we shot the deer from
the squirrel?
The squirrel from the car.
You shot it from
the car. And the squirrel went up and then came back down and he said, "Look out, here I come."
Yeah.
And he says,
Who in the name of our Lord God would let this man fire a weapon from a moving automobile?
Who is the gun owner in the home, Tom? The gun that you were using, who owns it?
I can't,
now he's trying to be devious.
I can't say who owns the gun.
Mrs. Liddy.
Don, baby, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Wow. Don, baby, how's it going?
Yeah. How you doing, guys?
That's right. Hey, can you roar like a monster?
Oh.
No, that's not a good roar. Do it like you always do it. Roar like a monster.
Oh.
There we go.
Tom, you really were driving in a car with your mom and your sister, and you were shooting at animals?
When we got up there, we went hunting up on a farm.
And you did it from the seat of the car?
Yep.
That's the only way. That's the only way to hunt, as far as I'm concerned.
Tom, tell me about your sister. I've never heard about her before. What's her first name?
Like a lamb.
Leg of
Leg
lamb?
Lamb. That is your sister's name is Leg of Lamb?
No, her name is Lamb.
Lamb?
Her name is Lamb.
Yep.
Like on the lamb?
Yep.
No, Tom, really, what is your sister's first name?
Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Oh.
Lizzie Gavin.
Yep.
That's great, Tom.
Does she know that?
It's a beautiful name.
Does she know that you call our show?
Yes, she does. Uh-huh. Everybody does.
Everybody does.
And they like you on the radio?
Yes, they do.
Who is
the celebrity that your sister most resembles, Tom?
Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, wow. She's hot. Who do you think the celebrity is that you most resemble, Tom?
The monster.
No, come on, really. Who do you think you resemble?
I got it.
Tom, who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Tom.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. Tom, is there a chance you could spell squirrel for me?
S-Q-U.
What?
S-Q-U.
Uh-huh.
S-U-N-E-R.
Swissen.
Right, okay. Well, thank you, Tom.
Swissener.
I like to put a thing, you know, Josh, what do you call it? Hello?
Yes, I have no idea what you're talking about. Tom,
you know, Josh, what? With Intercom Paging.
His plug. This is a business.
Tom, I thought you sold Amway.
I do Amway, and I do, I'm helping Josh sell Intercom Pagers and Pagers.
Christ. Okay.
You know the guy who shoots the pagers?
Right. Bye, Tom.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, sometimes just a little too tedious.
Too much sometimes.
All right.
Too much.
Tommy with a gun. A Tommy gun.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. I was just calling. I was hearing about this guy you're talking about, and I just wanted to share you my experience. My dad took me hunting when I was 9, and first time out, and I shot a deer, you know, the thing like on TV made me drink the blood. And
oh, come on. You're such a liar. You're 100% lying.
No.
Yeah.
And I ended up cutting it open. I got the cup of blood. I ended up throwing it back up on him. And it wasn't...
Please, I want you to know that not only do the 5 million people listening to this show not believe you, but the 4 people in this room don't believe you.
And you've got that tone that always tells me the crap detector starts to throb.
Come on now.
You know,
I don't want to bring up any old subjects, but...
Of course you don't.
Okay, can you help me out? We're expecting our first baby here in January. And we got a cat that had, like, you know, 6 kittens. Nobody wants these things. You got a mouse problem. Can we accommodate you?
No, come on, please. you are a ridiculous man. You're a very troubled man.
I got past Joe Rockhead with the phone, and you're right.
Let me just explain something. We're all on to you. We're all on to you.
I know you think Tom is a moron. And frankly, Tom is a moron, but I want to tell you, you're a bigger moron than Tom is.
That's right.
No, not really, because that was my second call to him. He did hang up on me the first time.
Let me tell you something about Tom Gavin. Tom Gavin was dealt, you know, fewer cards than most of us. But you probably started out with a full deck, so you should know better.
I still got through to him, though.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me get this straight. You're wearing this like as a badge of honor that you were able to get past our screener, who incidentally is mildly retarded himself. you think that is some big feat that you were able to get past our phone screener?
Come on.
No, I mean, I'm serious. If you think that that's an accomplishment, I'm telling you it's not. The guy that answers our phones is a certifiable idiot.
Well, you got to give him some credit. He was real quick yesterday. You guys were hammering him because he wasn't clearing the phones too quick or not quick enough.
No, I know. You know what? I know exactly where this is going. We've had so many conversations. This is a guy has one desire. To stay on the air.
As long as possible.
As long as possible. Okay. He will talk until he talks himself into a little hole.
Then
it will take an ugly turn.
You guys are great. Bye.
All right.
F you. Bye.
Now, if I hadn't brought that up, that guy would have continued to talk until he said something that he didn't want to say, and then it really would have gotten ugly.
Hey, Rockhead, come here, please. I'm not going to yell at him, but I just got to ask him, really.
There's no need.
Rockhead.
Okay.
I'm not yelling.
He's coming in saying, wait a minute.
Can I do something first?
I'd like to go on record saying I love Rockhead's visits. I always do. And
What are you doing?
What's he doing?
Don't touch my tapes.
Can you play this?
Don't touch my... No. Don't tell me what the tapes to play. You're not directing this show.
What's the tape you were going
to
play?
The one that says, we're ready to believe you.
Right.
Okay. Meaning, don't take it literally.
Okay.
You know what's great, though, man? What is great about... I will tell you, I'm going to give Rockhead a compliment. It may be the only one.
Please don't.
He always, no matter what the circumstance, he always comes in here prepared to defend himself.
And that, frankly, that's what just pisses me off about you.
It doesn't, though, really, Rockhead. I got
it really
that.
Does.
He doesn't. He likes it. There's a little bit of him that likes it.
No. Now, listen. How dumb can you be? The guy on the phone is an obvious buffoon.
Okay.
Yeah, and you knew that. So he says, hey, guess what? When I killed my first deer, my daddy made me drink the blood. Right? Like, you don't know you're being goofed?
I realize that.
So you knew you're being goofed. So you're trying to sabotage the show?
No, he was telling me, said, okay, well, this and that. And I was like, I'll let them figure out if he's lying.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you one thing, okay? This is how I am supporting my family. Okay, do you understand? This is very important to me.
Okay.
This is my friggin' career here.
Me too, Don.
And Mike, I'm
right
sorry.
Right over here, Rockhead. Rockhead, look me in the eyes. Same as him.
Right, okay.
Feel the same way.
Seriously.
Real
this
important.
This is not playtime, okay?
Okay.
We're out here. I mean, this is important stuff.
Right. It's much too important for you just to get a guy who you know is full of crap and you go, well, I'll let them deal with it.
Right. It's a bad attitude. I agree. It's a very bad attitude.
I didn't say, well, I'll let them deal with him. I didn't put it that way.
Okay, but in so many words... You just gave me that feeling.
You might want to caffeine up a little bit. You know, maybe that would help you.
Really, caffeine
not
helping.
Well, take a few Pepsi Ones or something before you get going. What do you drink back there? What's your beverage of choice when you're drinking?
Usually water if I drink back there.
Foolish. You're too young. Right. You don't need
water. Go to Starbucks.
I don't need
coffee.
Pepsi One.
Well, what's wrong with Pepsi One?
Try some Mountain Dew. It tastes like hell.
Try Mountain Dew.
I think you could put the battery cables to his ears and electrify him, and it wouldn't do any good.
You think the energy level would remain the same?
Yeah, the energy level would remain the same.
What's wrong with my energy level?
Don't sabotage this show.
All right.
What's
wrong with my energy level, though?
Oh, that's Mike's complaint with you.
All right.
I have no problem with your energy level.
Remember yesterday when I came back there and I told you to wake up?
Yes.
Yeah, when you were slouching.
Well, there was nothing going on, so I was just sitting there.
People with initiative make things happen.
Okay. Well, he has no initiative. I mean, I know. I say this all the time, but really, I swear to God, I'm holding my hand, praying to Jesus. Please have Christine Kerner call the show back. Please have her call to take her job back. I would give anything. Please. Okay. Robbie, where's my train wreck sound effect? Gotta have it. This is what you just did to this show.
Actually, I just gave you 10 minutes of stuff to talk about.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Do not take credit for that.
And just because I can take a piece of crap and turn it into a diamond doesn't mean that you had anything to do with it.
Okay.
Now get out of here.
All right.
I'm serious. I'm really pissed at you. You moron. Christ.
Sorry, I'm laughing. I know that I subvert your authority when I laugh, I give you
10 good minutes of material.
Swear to God. I will tell you one thing. He's not like anybody else that's done that job.
No, he's the dumbest.
He comes in, I really wish sometimes this was television, because when he walks in the door, he's got his hand up. Wait a minute. He's coming in. Yeah, he's in that defensive position.
Yeah, and his big answer is that we play a tape that says, we're ready to believe you.
Mm-hmm.
That's his answer.
Yeah.
He's what a dope he is.
Serious.
Christ, it's amazing we're on the air. Imagine what we'd have in Greenville if we didn't have Rockhead answering our phones.
Pretty amazing.
We'd probably have a 40 share instead of a 21.6.
Be a record setter.
Okay. Well, listen.
Where were we?
Time for some commercials.
Ah, yes.
This is a good time for commercials. And we'll be right back with much more. Happy show.
There's love here.
Joy. More show coming right up.
This is the Dawn and Mike.
I hope this puts to rest. I
hope it's finally put to rest another rumor that has been in the press for too many years. Me and Janet really are two different people.
Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
It's game time now.
She's a hottie.
Well,
it's not often that we have a real hottie come in to play Jeopardy right. with us, as we do today. Oh. Hey, baby.
Who are you?
I'm Donnie.
Donnie who?
Donnie G.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mr. Soprano.
Oh, come on. You're lying to me.
Mr. Soprano?
Who are you? Are you from the neighborhood?
Yes.
No, you're not.
Of course, everybody knows that this is Tony Soprano's mother.
Yeah. Oh, look at you. All special. Who do you think you are? I don't know any of you.
Oh, come on. This whole thing with you losing your mind is a scam on The Sopranos.
Oh, go ahead. Run away. You don't care about me, I'll tell you
yes,
right
we do.
Now.
We care very much about you.
Are you Donnie Camerari?
No.
Look at you all grown up.
No, I'm Donnie G.
Oh, sure you are. Oh, come on.
You know who I am, Mrs. Soprano.
Yeah, you're trying to put me in a home.
No, your son did that.
You hate me. Go to the ham. Get a carving knife. Stick it in. Here.
Oh, my.
You. My Johnny boy wouldn't let that happen. He was a saint. You. I just want you to know something. I know what you're up to.
What am I up to?
Yeah, you're up to doing me wrong. You want to get to me. You want to take my money. I'll tell you right now, Donnie. Your father wouldn't allow that to happen.
How do you know my father?
Who's he? There he is, another one.
You know him, don't you? He's,
Oh, yes.
Rob Spiewak.
Yeah, Robbie Spiewak, Harry. Look at him all grown up.
Hello, Olivia. You look beautiful today.
Sure. I know what you... Shame on you.
Oh, no.
Shame on you.
I'm just a nice boy.
Where's some of the other henchmen you have here doing your bidding?
Well, you know the guy in the next room, right?
Move out of the way. I can't see.
Good evening, Mrs. Soprano.
Oh, there you are.
Nice to see you, man.
Fuzzy Camerari.
That's me. Hi.
Oh,
hi,
you're the good boy.
Oh, that's nice.
You've always been the good boy.
God bless you, Mrs. Soprano.
Not like you.
Why are you turning on me, Mrs. Soprano?
You're a rotten apple. Just get a carving knife and stick it in my chest.
Listen, let's talk about who the rotten apple is.
Oh.
Who plotted to have her son killed?
My son is not plotted. What are you talking about?
I've seen the show. You and Junior Soprano plotted to kill Tony.
Oh, forget it. Oh, boy. You're barking up a wrong tree. I'll tell you, you just pack of lies.
No, all sorts of lies.
Where's Charlie Broyhilary?
Here's what
is
happened.
Is he still with you?
Somebody get Charlie in here. She wants to see Charlie.
Little Charlie. Such a good boy. Hello, bud.
Hello, Mrs. Soprano.
So good to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
You always were a good boy. Sensitive.
Yes, and I hope you're feeling well.
Look who we brought for you now.
Oh, there he is. Another one. Oh, you. Big shot. Okay. Do you still eat your food? Terrible table man.
You remember.
Oh, he just got crumbs on the floor.
So you can clean them up.
Just don't you backtalk me. Right. If Johnny Boy, my Johnny Boy, was alive, you wouldn't
you
speak
killed him.
To me. I didn't kill anybody.
Do you watch The Sopranos?
No,
she didn't kill her husband. She tried to kill Tony, her son.
You know what? I remember what you did.
What did he do?
You used to go to all the girls in the neighborhood and ask to see the meat curtain.
Oh, no.
Yes, you did.
Well, they'd show me.
Charlie Broyhilary. Yeah. Get out.
From the
Get out.
Let me ask you, how does a mother plot to kill her own son?
I'll tell you right now, you're just trying to pick on me. That's why you put me in that home.
I didn't put you in the home, Tony did.
You did, Mr. Big Shot. Oh, poor you. All your problems. All your troubles. I just want to say, F you!
Oh, Mrs. Soprano.
F all of you.
Mrs. Soprano.
Oh, I don't want any chicken. Bring me tapioca.
Would you like a cannoli?
I'd love a cannoli. I'm feeling all right.
Robbie, would you get Mrs. Soprano a cannoli?
Give me something to eat. Anything. I'm an old woman. No one respects me. I wish the Lord would take me.
I wish the Lord would take me. There you go.
Oh, it's a carrot.
That's all we have.
A carrot, thank you. Look at you all. Oh, grown up. Robbie Spiewak, Gary. I don't know whether I could handle a carrot. Should I try it?
Sure, give it a try, Mrs. Soprano.
I fear I might break a tooth.
Give it a try, Mrs. Soprano.
All right. Here we go. You know something?
What's that?
There was a day when I used to like carrots. I used to eat them all the time. Let me try.
You.
Mr. Big Shot. Hold on.
Oh, she can't even do it.
I can't chew.
Gumming it.
I can't chew it. Let me try again. Oh my God!
What happened, Mrs. Soprano?
It's excruciating pain.
Mrs. Soprano.
I haven't been to the dentist in 40 years. I'll try. Oh, I broke a tooth.
Oh, Mrs. Soprano.
Jesus Christ.
They're so brittle.
Oh, dear.
That's a good carrot. So how are you, Mr. Big Shot?
I'm fine. Big fan of the Sopranos.
Your fine clothes and your suits.
Big fan of the Sopranos. Love the Sopranos.
Well, that's good. Their food is terrible here.
I love your son, Tony Soprano.
Oh, my son.
Your son, Tony, he's the greatest.
Have I told you what he's doing?
What's he doing?
He goes to a psychiatrist. Can you believe that? A psychiatrist to complain about his terrible mother. Poor him.
And that's why you tried to kill him.
I didn't do that. Shame on you.
Listen, I saw the episode.
No shame.
I saw the episode.
Come on.
Don't open your mouth when you're
have you no shame. What's the matter with you?
Swallow.
You're a horrible man. You're really horrible.
I just want you to know,
I'm on to you.
And it's probably been 50 years since you've heard a man request this, but please swallow.
I can't swallow fast. I'll try. There we go. Good.
Good job.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, I'm having a hard time. Go ahead, you. Run away. When will you be leaving my hospital room?
As soon as we're done with this bit.
Mr. Big Shot! I'll tell you right now.
Are you happy that now they've written a daughter into your show? That your daughter's on the show, The Soprano?
I don't care. Nobody cares. I'm a poor old lady. I'm in a home. Don't you have any sympathy? Jesus! My bowels! Oh, no! My bowels! I can't control my bowels.
Can you tell me what you were thinking when Tony tried to kill you? When Tony tried to smother you with the pillows?
I was thinking he's a bad boy. It wasn't always like this when my Johnny was around. I tell you, my Johnny was a saint. My Johnny was a saint.
Hey, Mrs. Soprano, hold on. Snap out of it.
He never went for the meat curtains.
Look who's in the next room, Mrs. Soprano.
Hi, Mrs. Soprano.
Oh. Little Buzzy Burbank, so sensitive. Are you still wearing the short pants?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're such a good boy.
Thank you for that.
How have you been? How's your restaurant?
My restaurant's fine.
Good for you.
We had a little fire, but it's...
You're such a good boy.
Hey, Mrs. Soprano.
He's a good boy.
Did you know he's a wife swapper?
What's a wife swapper?
Don't tell us.
He went on vacation one time with his wife. How long? 25 years ago?
Just upset her.
Oh, for Jesus.
And he swapped... sexual partners with another couple.
She doesn't need
What are you I don't know what you're talking about.
Buzz and Marcia, do you know his wife Marcia?
You, it's always you with the sex. This good boy wouldn't do anything sexual.
Well, not him.
Not at all. He's a good boy. He doesn't think about sex. Not like you, his brother. Always with the sex talk. I remember you now.
Not his brother.
You used to sit there for hours on end talking about intercourse. Sexual intercourse.
Is there any
between
other kind?
Two other people. You'd go on and on. It was you. You with the Mr. Sex. Not enough sex for you. Magazines, films, all the talk, all through the neighborhood. Everybody come over with you. Donnie Camerari, sex god, always talking about the sex talk. It's disgusting. I wish the Lord would take me home. Why don't you just get an ice pick and stab me in the ear?
Listen, look, for the last time, Mrs. Soprano.
For the last time, call me Livy.
That crap might work with Tony or work with Carm.
Oh, yeah. What a way to talk to somebody's mother.
However,
don't you have a mother?
You don't want to know about my mother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, poor you. Run away again. Oh, God.
I watched The Sopranos. I know you're full of crap. You're faking being sick.
I'm not.
You're fake having Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah.
You tried to kill Tony.
No, I didn't. You're picking on me and I'm old. You better be careful or I'll do something to you. You know what?
Like what? Like you tried to do to Tony?
I'll do something more horrible than you could ever imagine, you know.
What's that, Olivia?
I'm an evil lady.
I know you are.
I'll show you mine. I'll show you mine.
Oh, no, I don't want to see that.
You want me to do that?
I don't want to see that.
I'll flash my breasts at you.
I don't want to see that.
How would you like to see my ass?
No.
I'll show you my ass. I will. That'll scare him away.
That it would.
There you go. Oh, Mrs. Soprano.
There you go.
Oh, no.
Our hospital gown is open. I don't want to see your ass. Turn around.
You should get back in bed, Mrs. Soprano.
Mrs. Soprano, look who's in the next room.
Oh.
Hi, Mrs. Soprano.
I'm sorry, I was showing Mr. Big Shot my ass.
Look who it is, Mrs. Soprano.
It's little Buzzy, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Are you still doing
the news?
Yes, I am.
You're a good boy.
Thank you, it's nice
you
of you to
You ought to come to see me more often.
I'd be happy to.
Not like him. He's a pervert.
Now listen to Mrs. Soprano.
What do you want?
We are going to play low-budget Jeopardy right now.
No, you're not. You're not putting me in that game.
Yes, we are. It will not be sex.
I'll show you my ass again.
We will take the first two calls right now, Olivia.
Oh.
Telephone number is 1-877-365-36.
Oh, what a big shot with his telephone numbers. Oh, look at me. Real exciting, like I showed him my ass.
I know you did. Time out, Olivia. Time out.
I got you. Time out. Right here.
Oh, don't do that. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Put me somewhere else this year.
Hey, I know. Well, he's only trying to return the favor.
He wants to take me out of the home. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
He wants to put me in Meadow's ass.
I didn't know that.
He wants me to live in there.
Her ass is much bigger this year on The Sopranos.
It's much larger, but there's no room for me.
I think there's room for you in Meadow's ass.
I don't want to live in her ass.
It's too bad you can't turn yourself inside out and live in your own ass.
I'd love to live in my own ass. I know it so well. It's been with me for all those years, but what would you care about that? You, Mr. Radio.
Why did you try to kill your son, Tony Soprano?
I did nothing of the kind. I don't know what you're talking about. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Mrs. Soprano.
How are you?
I'm well, thank
you. You're a good boy.
You know what he did last night?
Not like this one.
You know what he did last night at our Las Vegas-style show? Why are you pointing me like that with your talons?
I like to shake my hooks around. What did he do?
He painted a girl's breasts.
Oh, you're a liar.
No, he really did.
You're a liar. No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He didn't. He didn't. You don't know what you're talking about.
Listen, Mrs. Soprano.
What?
Can we play a little budget Jeopardy?
Who are you?
I'm Donnie from the neighborhood.
Oh, the disc jockey with the sex.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'll play your game. Give me the cards. These?
Those. How's your eyes, Mrs. Soprano?
I'm blind as a bat. This is low budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is the service supervisor.
Can you read it out loud?
Why?
So everybody.
Why do you want me to read it out loud?
So everybody on the radio can hear you.
Oh, we're on the radio.
Yes.
Okay. This is a program supervisor from Arlington, Virginia. Let's say hi to Jen Stud.
Hello, Jen.
Jen?
Jen?
Ah, see, she was lying. She's gone. She hung up on you.
You know what they're
called? She's a lawyer like all your fans.
Gary?
Hi.
All right, hold on. Get Jen back on the line, guys.
Yeah, go ahead. Get some of your people to do it. Do it yourself.
I can't. I don't have her phone number.
Well, should I read the other card?
Yeah, let's meet the other guy.
All right, you. Yeah, read it. Oh, there he is, Mike Rocket Airy. The homosexual. There he goes.
Oh, dear.
Doesn't want anybody to know. I know you like boys. Now entering the studio is our second challenger. He's an internet banking company person. Oh, big shot.
Yes.
Let's say hi to Gary Coyle.
Hello, Gary.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Yeah, all right. And now entering the studio is the host. Where's the girl?
Hold on, here she is. Let me get her. Hold on a second.
Here she
is. Hey,
comes.
Jen?
Yeah.
There she is. There's Jen.
Oh, happy day.
And there's Gary.
Late to the party.
It's Jen and Gary. They're our contestants.
Okay. Thank you. Promise me where, Gary. You were a good boy before you started doing the sex.
All right. He doesn't do the sex with me.
Oh, yeah. You're lying. Now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Look at him. All grown up. Let's say hi to Alex Trebek. Geronimo.
Thank you, Mama Soprano, and hello.
Yeah, whatever.
Hello, Gary. Hello, Jen. Listen, kids, don't forget, answer in the form of a question. I live with my mom wearing clip-on tie, suit by Mr. Guy. Call me Alex, as we're playing the game. That is El Q-Lord, Quizmaster, and always call her...
What?
Mrs. Soprano.
That's the respect I deserve. My Johnny boy used to make sure I'd get that respect, Buster Brown.
Here are your categories, and they are... The Internet.
The Internet, oh yeah, all wires and TV screens.
Golden Globe winners.
Golden Globes. I'll show you my Golden Globes.
Entertainment news.
Entertainment. What's entertainment? Mario Lanza. That's entertainment.
Sports trivia.
Sports? Who cares?
And states and capitals.
You're lying to me again.
I'm not lying to you. Here they are one more time.
Oh.
The Internet. Golden Globe winners.
Golden Globes.
Entertainment news.
Yeah, tell everybody.
Sports trivia.
Yeah, run the show.
States and capitals.
For God's sake, what am I supposed to do?
You keep score.
Oh, you.
Jen, you're a girl. We like girls better than boys. We'll start with you.
Thanks, OQ. I'll take states and capitals for one.
It is the capital of the great state of Texas.
Oh.
Texas. What is Austin?
That's right.
All right. You've got yourself a point.
All right.
A dollar.
Huh?
A dollar, Mrs. Soprano.
Don't you tell me what to do. I'll call it a point.
It's a dollar.
All right, Jen. You got 1 point.
Dollar.
Don't argue with me. I'm very old.
Dollar.
I wish the Lord would take me.
I do, too.
Select again, Jen Stud.
I'll take states and capitals for two.
It is the capital of these not-so-great state of Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. What is Providence?
No, don't jump in after the buzzer. All right. Is this Gary?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
what is
look
the
at you. Don't talk when I'm talking.
Yes, ma'am.
Here's the opportunity to steal.
What is Providence?
Yeah,
that's right.
Mr. Smarty Pants, all with his internet banking company. All right, Gary, go again and don't interrupt. Go.
Let's finish that category.
This is the capital of the great state of Pennsylvania.
What is Harrisonburg?
No, sorry.
No.
Well, what are you doing? You hit a dinger then a buzzer.
Well, he said Harrisonburg, and that is not correct.
Oh, far be it for me to criticize you. Jen!
What is Harrisburg?
Yes, not Harrisonburg, it's Harrisburg.
$3 for Miss Smarty Pants, the program supervisor. I guess you better go again.
I'll take entertainment news for one.
This former Mrs. Donald Trump has signed to be host of the TV show Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire.
Oh.
Who is Ivana Trump?
No. Oh, no. Hey, Gary, it's your chance to see.
Who is Marla Maples?
Marla Maples is correct.
Marla Maples, isn't she special? What happened? What's going on?
Give him a dollar.
1 point for Gary.
A dollar.
Okay, Mr. Internet Banking Company Executive Person. Select again, Smarty Pants.
Let's go for 2, please.
This boy group has just signed a lucrative contract to do TV ads for Burger King.
Who is NSYNC?
No. Hey, Jen, it's your chance to steal.
Who are the Backstreet Boys?
That's right, Jen.
Oh, yeah, we all know that. Who are they? $2, select again, young lady.
I'll take entertainment news for 3.
The name of an all-new 24-hour cable channel devoted to women.
Oh.
Oh, poor you. I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about. Gary?
I don't know. What is In Style?
No.
Something you could use, Mrs. Soprano.
What?
It's called oxygen.
Oxygen? I could. My health isn't what it was. And you're mocking me.
No, I'm not.
You're over there laughing at me.
No,
oh,
I'm not.
You're a bad boy.
Look who's over there.
Oh, hey, Buzzy.
Nice to see you.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Are you still doing the news, darling?
Yes, yes, I am.
How long has it been since you, boy?
How long since you've seen Buzz?
I don't know you. What are you asking me all these questions about? Jenny Stenerary, you're in control of the board.
Thank you, Mr. Soprano. I'll take Golden Globe winners for 1.
She's so sweet.
This show won Best TV Drama.
Always visits me.
What is The Practice?
No.
No. Hey, Gary, Mr. Big Shot, your chance. See you.
What is a soprano?
The Sopranos, yeah.
What was, how many points?
$1.
1 point for Gary.
Dollar.
Okay, Mr. Smart Businessman. Mr. Internet, go again.
Let's go for 2, please.
This movie won Best Drama.
What is The Hurricane?
Now. Hello, Jen. How are you, darling?
Hi, I'm fine, Mr. Soprano.
Your chance. Isn't she sweet calling me Mrs. Soprano?
I call you Mrs. Soprano. You yell at me.
Oh, you. It's all a lie with you. Jen, your chance to steal, sweetie.
What is American Beauty?
That's correct.
$2 for you, and you're in control, dear.
Thank you. I'll take the Golden Globe winners for 3.
This movie won for Best Comedy.
I don't know.
Oh, you were quick with your buzzer. You and your... Oh, now you're hitting again. Yes, you annoy me. Ow. I wish the Lord would take me away from this. It's hell. All right, Gary, Mr. Smart Guy.
I don't know. What does analyze this?
No, you didn't know. Why'd you even play?
Hey.
Toy Story 2.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Buzz.
Hello, Mrs. Soprano.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All right, Jen.
Well, since he's in the internet, I'll go with sports trivia for 1.
Sports trivia.
Yak, yak, yak. Average speed of a hockey puck. in a National Hockey League game in miles per hour?
What is 120?
No. No, I don't know what you're talking about. Gary?
What is 70 miles
an hour? No.
80 miles an hour.
Yeah. What's traveling 80 miles an hour?
A hockey puck.
Oh, you're lying. Jen?
I'll take the four trivia for two, please.
Oh, darling, you're such a sweetie.
Thank you, Mrs. Soprano.
Number of minutes it takes to hand stitch a baseball.
Oh,
320.
No.
No.
Gary!
What is 6 minutes?
11.
11. These are very odd questions.
They are.
Who cares?
Oh, yeah, you're a good girl. You agree with an old lady. Okay. Gary!
Sports for three.
Number of baseball gloves that can be made from one average cow.
What is 10?
No. Gary, Mr. Smart, I bet you know.
What is 40?
You interrupted me, Gary.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Five gloves, one cow.
Okay, Mr. Quizmaster. Who? Jen, you're in control.
Okay, last category. I'll take the internet for one.
The internet. He was the top male search and download for 1999.
Who is Ricky Martin?
That is correct.
Three, what's the point?
$1.
1 point for Jennifer.
Hey, you
go
know
again,
what?
Sweetheart.
You know, Olivia?
Yeah. Call me Mr. Soprano.
I bet I could make five baseball gloves out of you.
Oh, you're
an average cow.
You have no respect for me. Five baseball gloves out of my... Are you talking about my skin?
Yeah.
You're a horrible man. All right, Jen.
$2.
You interrupted me.
She was the top female search and download for 1999.
Who is Britney Spears?
Yeah. Oh, somebody knows the internet.
Yeah, she's smart. 2 points.
Thank you. I'll take the internet for $3, please.
$3. She wants 3 points.
Excuse me.
This is the biggest selling DVD ever online. More people purchase this DVD online than any other movie.
Oh.
Well, what is Titanic?
No.
Hey, Gary, go ahead.
What is Austin Powers?
No.
The Matrix.
The Matrix, of course.
The Matrix.
You knew that. You've got all the cards in front of you.
Of course I do.
Of course you do. Yes. Is that the end of the round?
Yes. Now, what is the score, Mrs. Soprano?
I don't know. Why are you here? Don't ask me all these questions.
How much money does Jen have?
Well, let me sit up. Just for a second.
Rob, can you help her, please?
Robbie, this is Soprano's down.
Don't touch me. I can get up on my own.
This is Soprano's down.
You're all trying to kill me.
Hope you do that yourself.
F you.
Okay, listen, we'll get a score when we come back.
I hate all of you.
Hold on, Gary. Hold on, Jen.
Except for you, Buzz.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Soprano.
You.
So you just want to lay on the floor?
I want to do you, Buzz.
I'll help you out. We'll be back in a moment.
The Dawn and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Hey, here we are.
Go Kings.
Go Kings. Oh, who's that?
Sacramento Kings, my favorite basketball team.
Oh, well, tell the world.
I just did.
Jeez, look at you with your buttons.
With my what?
Your buttons.
Oh, the buttons I press?
You heard me.
What do you think of this button, huh?
Oh, your buzz is trying to annoy an old lady. Yeah, make me cry.
Oh, come on.
Oh, kiss my ass.
Okay, listen. Olivia?
Yes? Yes, Don.
We're going to play Final Low Budget Jeopardy.
Yes, Don.
We have Gary and Jen.
Gary and Jennifer, she's a sweetheart.
Thank you, Mrs. Soprano.
You're welcome, Jennifer.
Now, listen, kids, don't forget to answer in the form of a question, okay?
Okay.
All right, here is your... Final low-budget Jeopardy category, and it is Surf City. Jen, you'll be glad to know it's another internet question.
Oh, the internet. Why all the wires? All the wires and the keyboards. It's too confusing for me. Bring that to me, will you, dear?
Bring her those, will you, please?
Bring her the prize sheets.
Oh. Okay.
There you go, baby.
Thank you. What's this prize? Playboy?
Wait until the end of the game.
I'm not reading this.
Just wait until the end of the game.
Oh, yeah. Okay, wait. Mr. Control the Shots.
All right, Surf City. This is the most popular internet site among all web surfers.
Web.
This is the most popular internet site.
I know what kind of web you're weaving.
Among all internet users. Kids, don't forget to answer in the form of a question, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive some Livia Soprano cheese.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. You and your own boys. My family loved my cooking, and especially my cheese. My cheese is homemade, and it's aged, and it tastes great,
says you.
And it doesn't come in a wheel or a stick. It comes in little flakes that you can sprinkle on your food. Please eat my cheese. It's good for you. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with all of you.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's Gary who's in second.
Gary Big Shot, the internet boy.
All right, Gary, this is the most popular internet site among all web surfers.
Well, I don't know. Let's see. What is www.ebay.com?
eBay. Oh, no.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm sorry.
Is it Jennifer's turn?
Yes.
Hello,
Jen.
Sweetheart.
Jen, you're the big wiener if you have the correct answer.
What is Amazon.com?
Oh, what a shame. She was such a dear girl.
Kids, the most popular internet site is Yahoo.
Oh,
Yahoo. I don't know that.
That's a search engine.
What's that?
Yahoo exclamation point.
You're deliberately trying to confuse me.
No, I'm not. Oh, listen, Gary and Jen, it's the type of game that only Alan Linewand can truly love.
Who's he?
Who's who?
Alan Linewand.
He's the new general manager.
No, he isn't.
Yes, he is.
Oh, I don't understand.
Al loves this game because we're giving away no money, so please, Gary and Jen, don't go away mad. Just go away. Here's Livia Soprano to tell you about your gifts. Livia.
Yes. You have won a TBS Superstation Ripley's Believe It or Not prize pack. Why didn't you say package?
Because it's
a pack.
Because it's the year 2000.
Oh, okay. Oh, year 2000. Aren't we fancy? Watch Ripley's Believe It or Not, an all-new original series, Wednesday nights at 8:05, only on the TBS Superstation.
But wait.
But wait.
There's more.
You have won. Oh, gee.
Read it, Olivia.
You've won a Playboy prize pack. This is pornography.
Women's classy pornography.
There's no such thing. Why are you ever, forcing me to read this?
You ever been to Tony's Club?
No.
Bada bing?
It's disgusting the way that boy makes his money. I hate him. And that big breast.
And he, you. You're dead to him, you know.
I am not. You're making up stories.
I watched The Sopranos.
Do you want me to finish this filthy prize or what?
Yes, please, Olivia.
You have won a Playboy magazine filth prize pack. Call 1-800-500-8800. Plus, it's all these numbers. To order a subscription to that filthy magazine and save 67%. Oh, boy, off the cover price. Congratulations. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
And thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you, Mrs. Soprano.
What a good girl.
Hold
she
on.
Is.
Well, listen, Mrs. Soprano, it's back to the nursing home for you.
Yeah, you're keeping me there till I die.
No, your son is. But we want to thank you for coming in. Always remember, never forget. Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of.
Well, I don't know. You're trying to kill me. Coron Incorporated, it is distributed by King World. Goodbye, Buzzy.
Goodbye, Mrs. Soprano.
Goodbye, you're all so friendly.
Goodbye, Lydia.
Goodbye to you. Check my ass.
I think she was going to say it's a vicious ass. Yeah.
I've never seen you actually slam the door right on that poor old woman's hand.
Poor gray old woman.
She'll never die.
She'll live forever.
Oh, Mama Soprano.
Yeah.
Hey, Buzzy.
Yeah.
There you are.
Hi.
This is Soprano's favorite.
Yeah. Hey, there he is.
Buzzy, all grown up. The Dawn and Mike Show.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see. I hate when people talk during the movie.
Ladies and gentlemen,
expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
Let me set this up. Larry King's column today is ridiculous.
It really is. Yes. This is Larry thinking he's something he's not.
Larry King in his USA Today column, where he normally just spouts off crap like, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow's a great actress.
Absolutely.
I love Marlon Brando. Today it is about how Larry spent all of last week in South Africa.
You would think from the beginning of the column that Larry would be some sort of a statesman traveling abroad. That's really not the case at all.
Now, really, what he writes about is the fact that somebody hired him to make a speech in South Africa.
Right.
He went to South Africa, which, in case you don't know, up until recently, has been like the most bass-ackwards country in the world.
Absolutely. During apartheid, it was horrible, and, you know, it's been well-documented.
And it's still not that great now.
No, they still got a long way to go in that right. country.
So Larry goes there. Let me read you a couple of highlights about his trip to South Africa from his column in USA Today.
Right.
Well, AIDS, he writes a lot about AIDS.
Yes, he does.
That 13% of the male population is afflicted.
That's one of their biggest problems in that country.
900 beds in one hospital, 600 patients have AIDS. He also writes that his brother Marty accompanied him on the trip.
Hi, Marty, come with me, please.
As a 14-hour flight would be a bit too much for the increasingly pregnant Sean Southwick King.
Yes, of course, you know, far be it for Larry to actually stay home with his very pregnant wife.
But the real point of Larry's article in today's USA Today about his trip to South Africa
talks all about South Africa, and then there's one paragraph where he really gets to the gist of what he's all about and what he paid attention to.
The hotels in all the cities are first class.
Ah, there's Larry. Now he can speak what he does.
The food is terrific.
Terrific.
The service is, well, getting better. In other words, it tastes great, but it just takes a while to get to the table.
And therein lies the only thing he really knew about his stay in South Africa.
He goes all the way to South Africa.
Right.
He writes a column about it in USA Today.
The hotel service is first class.
Writes nothing about all the crap that's happened. Right. I mean, he drops the names. He drops the name Andrew Young. He drops the name Nelson Mandela.
Talks about de Klerk, who was over there.
F.W. de Klerk. He drops all the names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he drops all the names. I bumped into him and even, you know, even kisses his ass. He's the man that freed Mandela. Well, he had the pressure to free Mandela. Yes. You don't want, you know, you don't write about anything like that.
But he just drops the names.
Yeah.
There's nothing that says, I met with Nelson Mandela.
Sure.
And we discussed the fact that Nelson Mandela was in prison for 30 goddamn years.
I'm Larry King, but let me tell you about the hotel service. And you know, and doesn't he bury his wife's name, like, deep into the column again?
She, if you're going to read the names, you have Nelson Mandela, Andrew Young, de Klerk, his brother Marty, and then Sean Southwick.
Yeah, at the very end. That's where the, you know, if we remember the first baby, that was a little further up in the column.
Sure. The hotels in all the cities are first class.
This is good food. Just took a long time to get here. Boy, yeah, this country's got a long way to go. I didn't get my soup.
The food is terrific. The service is, well, getting there.
Yes, I'm Larry King. Ambassador Lawrence King.
In other words, it tastes great, but just takes a while to get to the table.
Can you imagine him sitting down? I mean, it makes me almost nauseous to think of him sitting down with Nelson Mandela.
Nelson, it's Larry King.
What an incredible story.
This Hello, Larry.
You rise to power. I will tell you, there's...
What do you think of this country?
I think it's wonderful what you've done. The progress is incredible. I have one thing I want to tell you.
Yes, Larry.
Last night in my hotel dining room, I ordered the filet mignon, and it took 23 minutes to get there.
Can we please discuss apartheid?
Well, isn't it important, though? I mean, apartheid, yeah. But did I mention that I'm here with my brother, Marty? Marty's here right now. But, Nelson, And I'll tell you right now, if you're going to have a real first-rate country, if I'm looking at first-rate countries, I'm looking at hotel service that gets the meat to the table on time.
I'll make a note.
Yeah.
Let me take off my funny hat.
Yeah.
And write that down.
Fantastic.
Larry
right.
King.
Yeah.
Better room service.
Yeah, better room service. You know, because I'll be honest, all the the food's great when it gets there. But if you're gonna have your A number one country, really, Nelson, you gotta have the service be better. I put in my order, and I'm normally a very patient man.
Would you like to talk about the economy?
Yeah, the economy of me leaving 4% to the waiter that couldn't get my salad to the table on time. Come on, Nelson, if you really want to have the A number one A-list countries, you know, like your France, your Italy, their restaurants and hotels always give me the food on time. It's always great, but your country is always going to be third rate unless it gets Larry King his entree when he orders it.
Will you put my name in your column?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, you're a great man. Fantastic. You're great. You know, you were in prison and now you're president of the country. Did I mention my wife, Sean, is pregnant? And this is my brother, Marty, who's traveling with me. A 14-hour flight. Gosh, I hope she doesn't go into labor.
Hi, Larry. Who's your friend with the hat?
This is Nelson Mandela. This is my brother, Marty. He's wearing the I Love South Africa t-shirt.
Hi, Marty Zeiger.
Marty and I are traveling together. We're seeing all the sights. Marty was just as upset as I was that our service wasn't fast last
Christ.
Week. Yes.
What's your name, Nelson?
This is Nelson Mandela.
Let me tell you something.
President of the country.
Let me tell you something. Last night, 9:30.
Oh, tell him, Marty.
I had a BLT.
10 o'clock.
I know, Marty.
No BLT.
I said to Larry, what kind of country is this? What kind of cockamamie country is this?
Don't, Marty. I've already told him. He knows what's going on. Now, tomorrow, we're going to have the tour of the diamond mine. So really, relax. And maybe you can pick up a nice bauble. Wouldn't that be nice? Nelson, we got to run. We got to go. You know, a big 14-hour flight. I hope that the service on the plane on the way back is better than that hotel restaurant.
It was very nice meeting you.
Say goodbye to Mr. Mandela, Marty.
Goodbye, Mr. Mandela. This is Marty Zeiger.
And I'm Larry Zeiger. We're going off to bed.
A little room service before.
Now, hold on.
When we come back,
yes.
We will give you in great detail an outline of what we believe Larry and Marty's day was like in South Africa.
Let's go. Oh, early to bed, early to rise.
Larry, good morning.
I got to take my pills. My hot pills.
Oh, I've got to take a nice BM.
Where's my Ginkova?
We will be right back. How ridiculous is this?
Really?
Really. Yeah. So guy go, first off. What the hell's Larry King doing in South Africa?
I know. What's he doing being a statesman?
What the hell's he doing there?
Ridiculous.
And why are these people listening to him? And why is he in the newspaper?
Something's very wrong with the world when world leaders are talking to Larry King.
The currency is the rand. You get six for every American dollar.
Thanks for that.
Not bad.
Hey, that's great. Look at this. I can buy so much with an American dollar. I'm exchanging all of my dollars for rand.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
There's not much talking you can do today. Just a lot of tight sphincters. A lot of tight sphincters in the Houston area today.
It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Vic.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, Larry was on E! On the Marie Osmond celebrity profile last night.
Oh, you know what? I told Mike I watched that Marie Osmond profile on the E! Channel. E! Exclamation point.
Right.
And they had Larry King's wife being interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Christ, did she hit the wall.
Really?
Sean Southwick King.
Well, I mean, how many times really can you be with him? I mean, in all seriousness, it's got to rub off a little bit.
How old is she? What, early 40s, mid-40s?
She, I think, was in her late 30s when she married Larry, and as soon as they actually exchanged rings, she turned 50.
She looks fitty now.
Yeah, absolutely.
She really does.
I mean, it's got to be, I would just, you know, you're with him, you have to be affectionate to him. It just turns you, you know, it's like being in the presidency. You ever see a president when they go into office and when they come out of office?
Right.
It's very similar to being married to Larry King.
Do you think she does to him the thing that Toya hasn't done yet?
Probably, yeah. Because we've heard over the years all the stories about Larry, and just speculating here, probably Larry's, you know, Larry likes sex.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think that she has to?
Sure.
Really?
Sure, I bet that happens.
Sean.
Look at all the women that, you know, in all seriousness, you might say.
I love it when you do that.
Oh, Larry.
Do it.
No, Larry.
Come on.
No. Hey, I'll throw up. I'll throw up like I did last time.
No, listen, if you just get it over with. It's like pulling off a Band-Aid. Here's what you do. I'll tell you when it's time.
It's like pulling off a Band-Aid.
I'll tell you when it's time. And before you know it, it'll be over.
It's like taking out a sliver. It's not going to hurt at all.
Just do it quickly.
Close your eyes tight.
I've got a giant bottle of Scope right here and a giant tin of Altoids.
I can't, Larry. I can't. I tried. I can't.
I want you to.
Larry, I'm sick to my stomach.
Get ready!
No.
Larry! There now. That wasn't so bad, was it?
Larry, I can never do that again.
Please, would you do it to my brother Marty?
Hi! Marty over there, Marty. You know what's funny is they both, I can love to see a picture of him. See if they look the same. You know, both of them just like, you know, frogging around.
You know they do.
Marty, Larry's brother.
Okay, so Marty Zeiger and his brother Larry King, they go to South Africa. Larry, good morning.
Hi there, Marty. I got sleepies in my eyes.
Hi.
Oh, man, the roof.
It's me, your brother. Marty Zeiger.
Marty, we've got a big day planned. We're going to go downstairs
to the hotel restaurant
and order breakfast.
I only hope that the service is better than last night. When I ordered my egg cream, it took roughly 28 minutes to get up to the room, Brother Larry.
Okay, after we do that, we're going to go upstairs, freshen up, and then we'll come downstairs to the hotel restaurant for breakfast.
Why do we have to freshen up? Why don't we just splash some brute on, Brother Larry?
That's a great idea. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll eat breakfast, then we'll go up to our rooms and watch South African television, and then we'll come downstairs for lunch.
I'm going to go out on the veranda for a moment.
All right.
Let me open the doors and stand out here. Look at the view. Everybody, I'm Marty Zeiger, and here's my brother, Larry King.
Hi, I'm Larry King. I notice most of you don't recognize me. That's what I miss most about being at home, where I used to stand outside of crowded restaurants and get recognized.
My brother claims to have known Stanley Koufax.
Yes, we were close personal friends.
Hey,
Marty, come on.
What, Larry?
We're going to be late for breakfast.
Larry.
Yeah.
Just between you and me, being as we're here in South Africa together, brother and brother.
Right.
That whole Sandy Koufax thing, that's a load of crap, right?
Well, since you're my brother, Marty, I'll tell you, it's all a lie. Lies, lies. As a matter of fact, most of what I say is one giant lie. Now, come on.
That's why I love you, brother Larry.
Help me. You know, does anyone realize that we're standing out on this veranda in just our boxers? With a covered belt holding a buzz sock.
And our yellow legs.
Look at our ugly yellow legs.
It doesn't matter. I'm here with Larry King from CNN. Larry.
Yes, Marty.
Question for you.
Fire away. I love it when you pretend to be me.
When your wife is having the baby.
Oh, yes, her.
I read in your column.
Yeah.
Then you're going to be in Atlanta introducing Ted Turner at a big get-together for CNN.
Yeah, well, you know, the first baby was really exciting. The first baby was so exciting because, you know, I made a big deal about it, that I'm older father and all that. Now it's the second baby. It's kind of old news. It's not being as wiggly. So I'm really, really...
What do you do? Here's the question.
All right, fire away.
You're at CNN. CNN with Ted Turner.
Yes, Ted Turner, my boss and a great guy. He's brought me onto his ranch. The right offer.
Your cell rings.
Yeah.
And it's Dawn Southwick King, and she says, Larry, or does she call you Mr. King?
Mr. King.
She says, Mr. King.
Yes.
I'm having the baby.
Oh.
Question is,
yes,
Brother Larry, what do you do? What do you do?
All right, you're telling me that if Dawn's having the baby, she's back in Utah, and Ted Turner's on the set waiting for me to host the show.
Yes.
What do I do?
What do you do?
Oh, it's, you know, it doesn't take much thought. I got to host the show. I got to host the show with Ted Turner because, you know, he's the man. And it's the second baby, so, you know, she can handle it. Besides, can I be honest?
Yes.
The luster is wearing off. The bloom is off the rose. Now, come on, Marty. We've got to go to breakfast. Please.
Did I tell you that yesterday I tried to order a ham on rye, and it took 48 minutes for room service in this cockamamie country to get me my ham on rye.
I think I'll write that in my column. I really do. I think I'll mention...
And they had no gold dip.
I'll say the hotels in the cities are first class. The food is terrific. The service is well getting there. That's what I'll write, because I am an elder statesman of the world.
Can you write that it takes a while to get the food?
Yeah, I will, Marty. Don't worry, I'll make sure. Now, help me find my pants, my slacks. Are we going to wear slacks today, or are we going to wear this the
matching shorts? Let's wear our cabana suits.
A matching safari outfit.
A big pit helmet.
That'll be great, Marty. Then we'll go downstairs.
Oh, Brother Larry.
Uh-huh.
I have to take a nice PM.
Oh, go ahead. Just leave the door shut. Yesterday you left the door open, and you made soup. Uh-huh. Oh, and I could smell your breakfast. Marty Zeiger.
I love you, Larry King. I love you.
Now, you go have your nice BM and I'll take my heart pills. And then we'll go down to breakfast.
Hey, look! On the TV here in the room.
What's that?
It's you! It's you, Brother Larry!
Oh, sure it is. I didn't know I was that hot. I'm not popular.
Look at me.
God, I love watching me on the television.
Who are you interviewing now, Brother Larry?
I don't remember. They have to tell me whether I'm there on the set, who it is. It looks to me like, it's Goldie Hawn!
Oh, I love Goldie Hawn!
Hey, Marty, come on! Go take your BM!
We'll be late for breakfast. All right.
Right.
How about a kiss? How about a kiss, Brother Larry?
Right before you go into the bathroom, sure. Come here.
Hello.
Oh, nobody tongue kisses like you, Marty.
Or you, Lawrence.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
Okay.
Enjoy. Check for blood.
Okay, that's just a taste of what it might have been like.
The Zeigers in South Africa.
Larry and Marty Zeiger.
Fantastic.
On the road in South Africa.
Yes, the world is safe for those two representatives.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
I haven't seen you since we were with that stripper in Laguna Beach. You remember her name?
No.
I do. It was April. That's my job. To remember the names of skanks that you bang on the road. That's what I do. It's not about the money. I do it all for you.
Hey, Mr. DJ.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Ed, Mike.
Yes, hello.
How are you?
Great, thanks.
Listen to you talk about the slot machine brought to mind another major purchase, and that was that powder or pills or whatever that was supposed to give the 5-foot poop. Whatever happened to that?
Hasn't come yet. I mean, that's the guy that we had, the doctor, and he's...
That's another impulse purchase.
Brand new. Well, it wasn't a purchase. He said he sent it to me for free, right. And nothing has come in yet, but I won't be able to take anything this week.
Impulse purchase.
I have to prepare for the real date for the procedure.
Oh, right. The colonoscopy is this week.
Which means on Wednesday, I will not be eating any food at all.
Wednesday.
And then right at the end of the show, I'll have to drink that stuff again. But I might be drinking it like on the way home. I don't want to go through that again.
The poop juice
is simply too painful.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, though. Gladys?
It's February.
No, 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 no.
Yes, I waited until the end of the month. you're coming to Wichita. I'm so excited.
Rob, do go back in the recesses of your big old brain.
Yeah, we needed to wait until March, Gladys.
Gladys, I think...
Now you're done up till, with your penalty, June 10th.
I think technically...
I can hear him. He doesn't have to yell at me.
I think that technically you are not living up to your part of the agreement, the separation agreement we have.
I thought it was January. I couldn't call.
No, no, I believe that when we filed for legal separation...
That's right. I thought there was a bigger penalty. Robin said March. I thought it was even like April or May.
Oh, no, no.
But it is now.
Guys are coming to Wichita. I'm so excited.
Let me...
Mike, can I sing Danny Boy to you when you guys come?
Oh, would you like to sing Danny Boy to me?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Just playing your theme right now, Gladys.
I want to tell you guys, I was in Orlando when you were on the King and Queens.
King and Queens, yes.
And we were at Disney World, and I rushed home that night. I forego the fireworks to watch you guys. You guys were so good.
What a sacrifice that
was. It
was.
You
God
guys
bless you.
It's not like they have a fireworks show at Disney World every night.
We only saw three more.
Yeah.
No, but, and I went to Las Vegas a couple weeks ago.
You just globe hopping.
I know. I've got my broom constantly.
Yeah.
Right. So, Gladys, what can we do for you?
I just want to say I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in a couple of weeks.
As we are you.
Right.
It's been since 96. Can you believe it?
Really?
Wow. Anybody who doesn't know, I just want to say, this woman, we do not have a bigger, stauncher supporter anywhere.
True.
However, this woman is the epitome of nails on the chalkboard.
Yes, yes. In fact, she's on some
I'm not even using my Gladys voice.
Yeah, you're not. And you're on some, phone that makes it, that dulls it a little bit, and I say it's a little more pleasurable than normal.
Go ahead with your normal voice. Just let it cut through for a second.
No, I can't.
You seem to... Was this the new mellow Gladys that we're getting?
No.
What are you... Are you on something?
Yes, I'm on something. I'm having hot cocoa.
What do you... put a few, break open a few capsules of Prozac in there, too?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Are you on Prozac, Gladys?
No.
Are you on any other type of antidepressant?
No.
Mm-mm. Really?
No, I take Inderol for migraine.
Uh-huh.
It lowers my blood pressure.
That won't affect you psychologically. Well, maybe you would.
It could help.
All right. Well, Gladys.
That was my son.
Oh, your son. How old would your poor son be?
10 years old. Shame on him.
10 years old.
Poor boy. All right. Gladys, goodbye.
I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. I'm so excited.
There it is.
You just got a glimpse into the real Gladys Kravitz.
Okay,
absolutely.
I'll see you guys March 17th, and you don't know where I'm going to turn up.
Bye.
What a pest.
Sounded like he said F-U in the background.
Like now, did your boy just say F-U?
Oh, gosh, no.
What did he say, Gladys?
No. What did you say, man?
Hello? She covers the phone.
Yes. No, he doesn't say that.
Isn't it about time to take him to, like, to tap class or something?
Put your
like
boy
that?
On.
No.
Let me talk to your boy.
Benjamin, you want to talk to him? No, he's too embarrassed.
Isn't it about time to take him to, his dance recital?
No, yeah.
Put that boy on.
No, you can't ask him anything bad.
I'm just going to ask him questions about his mommy.
No.
I'd like to know how long mommy spends on the phone every day.
I don't.
Calling radio stations.
I'd like to know if mommy still bathes him.
No, I don't. He locks the door.
I'd like to ask him.
I have four sons.
Is there a Mr. Kravitz perhaps down in the basement with duct tape wrapped around his mouth?
No, come on. Let me talk to your son.
No, you can't. I forbid it.
Oh, there's the bird.
Oh, no, that's a new bird at Christmas.
What's the bird's name?
Well, guess what?
What?
Frida died.
Frida died.
Frida died.
So what bird is that we hear right
that's
now?
That's the new bird I got at Christmas that I'm ready to cook. It's a cockatiel. And his name is Buzz.
You're ready to cook him?
We're going
to
cook Buzz.
His name
Buzz.
Buzz the cockatiel.
Yep.
So you mean you breed these exotic birds only to...
No, I got this for Christmas.
And you're going to eat him?
Oh, he's a pest. He's horrible.
Yes.
You know, anyone that's had exotic birds know that they make quite the racket. Is it true you got the exotic bird just to cut down on people being annoyed with you when they come to your house?
No.
Oh, there's Mama. Well, she's mad now. Did you just tell your son to shut up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
I don't say shut up.
What do you say?
Nothing.
Put the boy back on with us.
No, you cannot talk to him.
Now listen, Gladys, you can trust me. Put the boy on.
No, I trust you as far as I could throw you.
Put the boy on. He has questions and he needs answered.
Absolutely.
I'm sure he needs an honest, open-minded parent.
Like, why do my friends say my mommy's crazy?
I have to hide down in the basement or he'll find me.
How many times do you have to clean the bird's cage every day?
Once a week.
Once? Oh, lovely.
Are you wearing old lady underpants right now? You know the kind
of... Big white ones that go up, like, almost under the breasts?
Well, I'm not going to answer that because you've forgotten something. So I'm not answering.
About
that.
How dry you are down there?
Enough. Enough. I know you're trying to get the most out of this conversation. You asked, so.
Does your son?
We've gotten her flustered, I believe.
I think so.
Does your son know that when you were in the service, you were known as Gladys, the gonad gobbler? Remember we found that out?
Wait, I'm gonna say goodbye. I'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Hey, we figured out a way how to get Gladys off the phone. Yeah, Gladys the Gonad Gobbler. That's
yeah, yeah, yeah. Go away, go away.
Really?
Gladys the Gonad Gobbler.
How does it feel to have the shoe on the other foot, honey?
There you go.
I love you guys. I wouldn't say nothing mean about you.
No,
nothing
you just
mean.
Said go away.
No, I just meant let's not talk about that.
Well, she's Gladys the Gonad Gobbler.
What was the name of the fort that you served at again?
I was at several.
Fort Head.
No. Well, I'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
The bird will be going,
and I'll be
Gladys the Gonad Gobbler. Gladys the Gonad Gobbler.
Yeah. Well.
Did you ever get it on with Sergeant Bilko?
No, I was a sergeant.
You were a sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a staff infection sergeant?
No, I got out before that.
Oh, okay.
Sergeant Gonad.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Gladys the Gonad Gobbler.
Well, I practice on my Danny boy, and I could sing Tura Lura Lura.
Let me talk to your son.
No.
Listen, I'm positive. No. Your son needs some kind of a...
I knew she'd do this to children.
No. He needs some kind of a role model. And I'm sure he's not getting it from you, but from a mom who flies around with her hair up in curlers all the time on the broom of yours.
Sergeant in the Army, married to a cobbler. Everyone knows Gladys the Gonad Gobbler.
I'm sure he doesn't know about your sordid history.
Hey, listening to the radio.
Really?
Yes.
If he's listening right now, then he should know that when Mommy was in the service, she was known as Gladys the Gonad Gobbler.
Remember when you told us that?
You've done your damage.
Oh,
you're
dear.
What is your son's first name?
I'm not saying.
Well, just tell me your son's first name so I can address him.
No.
How's that bird? Are you down in the basement hiding from the bird now?
I'm in the basement loading the washer.
Come on, just tell me your son's first name so I can dress him personally.
Well, now he's coming down.
Dress him personally?
I mean, address him.
He's saying some bad things. See, you're getting my children. I gotta go.
What's his first name, Gladys? I just don't want to get
you know
what I
just
message.
Figured out.
His next name is Benihana.
What I've just figured out is that Gladys is incapable of hanging up with us unless we dump her.
So his name must be Ben, right?
Benihana.
Is that his name, Ben?
Ben, the two of us.
Ben. Do you know what a gonad is? Ben, you have gonads.
Oh, God.
Ben,
when your mother was in the Army, she was known as the Gonad Gobbler.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, see, not enough to hang up.
Not enough to hang up, no way. Ben.
No.
Okay.
Do your friends have gonads? Sure they do, Ben. Your mom loves gonads.
We've identified Gladys as she's incapable of doing it. Aren't you, Gladys? The kids are loving it.
That's right, Ben.
No, you're not talking.
Your mom
was desperate to talk to us.
I've unplugged the radio.
Oh, now listen. Let the child speak to us.
There seems to be some sort of pandemonium going on.
Let the child speak.
No, he can't. No.
And now, even with this, as we torture her, I'm still finding her very unpleasant.
This is the end of the Don and Mike Show.